P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. I'm over here now.
Don, Mike, both of you, idiots.
Can we get high?
That way.
I'll drink to that.
That way.
I'm over here now.
Jill's not just a name, it's an idea.
Hello, Don and Mike. This is Julio Junta from The Sopranos. I never listen to you. Goodbye.
Oh, for you.
Hey, this is Keith. Yeah, Richard.
It's a Don and Mike. You got it?
Got it, man.
You're wrong, Mike.
I'm over here now.
Joe's the guy who wears the shirt that says Joe on it.
No, he's not retarded.
It's a great tribute to do this satellite program, and I'm going to do my best, and all of the people that work with me, to do a good show. It's just pure, you know, entertainment. No messages and all this and that. Just try to make people happy for that 1 hour that it comes across.
I'm over here now.
Hey, Howard, there's your Chinaman.
Oh, thanks, Fred.
Hi, Don.
Oh, watch your language, Mr. Dirty Mouth.
That way.
Can we get high?
Hey, Don and Mike. Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Get to know Charlie.
Fire. Welcome to our show.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Sometimes these bugs get confused. Never stops them from coming in.
Get them out of here.
I can hit that button with my eyes closed.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith. A man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
It's the big white button, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Hamburger. Medium rare.
Hamburger medium rare.
And all the ships at sea, hey, they do holes, not bowls. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie. And hi, thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show, new episode on this Wednesday.
Honorary Aterd.
Right. Phone number 877-365-3636.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
There he is.
There you go. That's tight. That's bright. That's out of sight.
And I don't do this very often. I want to just get this off my chest before we even start.
Yeah.
I just want to get it out of my system.
Go.
For that douche in the Toyota Tacoma pickup truck with that excuse for whatever you have on the end of your chin. You might think it's a beard. You dink. You ruined my commute in today, and I want to say
you're an a-hole.
You saw me?
You're an a-hole. You don't drive a Tacoma pickup.
No, I don't, but I
don't know what color it is. I can't tell you. It was a faggy color.
I have something on my chin, and I'm an a-hole, though.
Like Punk Isn't Dead sticker on the back of his car.
Oh, that was me.
We had words.
Did you have words?
Wimp. Yeah, you're a dink.
You had some R-squared, you had some road rage.
Yeah, he merged on, you know, and, you know, apparently he gave me the high beams and stuff like that. You know, it's just a normal little merge. And didn't like the fact that I just merged him without using my signal, and so he was giving me all that crap. So I wanted to say, you're ugly. You're a wimp. There you go.
I told you I'd do this to you, and now I have.
Because I have this, and you don't.
I had some of that the other day with my wife in the car, where there was... I don't know what it was. It was a car that was three lanes, and it was a car that was
going slow in the left-hand lane.
Right.
So I moved to the medium lane and passed him up. And as soon as I went back to the left lane, the guy gives me the brights.
Right.
You know. So, well, that pissed me off to no end.
Sure. I hate lights. I hate anybody giving me lights.
And then, like, even 5 minutes later, the guy somehow snakes his way back up behind me and gives me the brights again.
Yeah, and this guy pulled up next to me. Like, he didn't know we were going to get the red light together. And I kind of timed it that way, looked over. And I'm just looking at him. He's looking straight ahead. And I'm just staring at him. And he knows I'm staring at him. Sure. Finally, he turns around. He looks over at me. And I, through the window, I mouth this. I said, "What the F is your malfunction?"
I have to really watch it. I did something when we were... I'm glad you brought this up. I did something when we were on vacation. You know, we got a new place in Ocean City, Maryland.
Right.
I love Ocean City. The old place we had, our vacation place there on Incest Road next to my mother-in-law.
That is the name of the street also.
That was hit by a tornado. Yeah. I'm not kidding. It was hit by a tornado.
A direct hit by a tree that got knocked over.
Yeah, three trees got knocked over into the ceiling of this place. So we had to get a new place. Anyway, we got a new place. It's like a condo place. It's down by the beach, and we're constantly having to, we were on vacation, constantly having to take in the dogs out to have the dogs poop.
Right.
And I even went as far as I, you know, took the little plastic bags with me, so when the dogs asked, you scoop it up and put it in the big trash can there. Well, on the way back to our apartment thing, you can't stop a dog from taking a leak.
No.
You know, like the dogs would see light poles. Yeah.
Didn't happen to leak on a passerby, did it?
No. They would leak on the light poles it's very small. The same as the place we have has a yard is ridiculous. It has about a 2-foot area
right. Where
there's one shrub. And next to us, there's these other shanty houses, and they have the equal amount of shrubbery out front, like maybe three small plants.
Right.
Anyway, one of the dogs comes by and goes by one of these little ugly plants and lifts his leg and takes a leak. And the old broad in there opens up the sliding glass door, about 100, and says, "I wish your dogs wouldn't do that." And I said, I took them all the way to the end of the street down there by where dogs go, and I clean up their poops, but I really can't stop them from going number one. She said, "Well, I would appreciate if you would not do that." So I let it go.
Right.
And later in the day...
Women seem to get a free pass on that more than men.
Oh, yeah.
Later in the day, I'm walking the dogs, and they all went down to the end of the street and did their stuff. And on the way back, I noticed that the old lady, she has her husband, and he's now standing out on his deck.
Oh, dear.
And he's making a Superman pose. He's got his arms at both sides, and he's just staring at me.
Well, that made me give the dogs extra water.
With my dogs. So what I did, as my dogs walked by, I stood and struck the same pose.
Good for you.
And looked right at him. And just stood there for a second, and he's staring at me with his, how Superman...
Yeah, absolutely. It's like that, hands on the hips, just staring down. "Here I come to save the day."
And then as I walked away, he continued to make eye contact, and I was almost walking backwards, still looking at him.
Right.
And towards the end, I actually gave him one of those, you know how Dick Clark goes,
"So long."
So long. Dick Clark is in the sign-off, the salute. I gave him the sign off, the salute, and I come back and I tell Frida about this. They said, those old people, the lady yelled at me earlier today, and the guy was standing out there giving me the Superman look, and then I gave him the, and she said, "Now, why'd you have to do that?
Why are you antagonizing the new neighbors?"
She said, "Why'd you have to do that?" I said, "Well, why do they have to do that?"
Yeah.
Exactly. So I empathize with you, Mike.
It's a series of judgment calls. That is what life is. I believe that is.
You fight back.
You choose whether to fight back, and you choose whether, to what extent you fight back.
Right.
With this guy, it's a young guy, this little weasel in back of me, giving me the lights, and I just say, enough. And what's the big deal? No harm, no foul. Let it go, pal. And he didn't want to let it go. And so we're just doing the pantomime talk, which I just love. I know I should. I know you're not supposed to do that, but I love the pantomime talk. I really do. And then I gave him, I'm looking in my rearview mirror, and I give him one of these, You need a little backhand and then a slap like that.
Oh,
that's what I said. Yeah.
I'm not into that. I'm just into the staring. And
I am.
Yeah. And I had another one with another one of these neighbors who's in a high rise. Now that I think about it, the first day that we moved into this place, the trash only gets picked up in Ocean City on Mondays and Thursdays.
Okay.
So we had moved into this place like on a Tuesday.
And, does that mean what they the new people move into the places?
What do you mean?
You said the trash only gets picked up on.
So we had like boxes, obviously, you know, the stuff that came from the other place.
This is our day to move.
And what I had done was there was by one of these big condos, they had a gigantic Dempsey dumpster sitting outside. One of those big ass gigantic things. And I put the boxes and some of the garbage in the back of my SUV. And drove up to the back of this thing and lifted up the lid and put my boxes in there. And from about the 30th floor, this old bitch leans over and goes, "Excuse me, that's not your trash."
Oh, God, I hate people.
And, you know, and I'm getting into it with her. Sure. Standing on the. I said, "But we just moved in right down here, and the trash pickup isn't until Thursday. That dumpster's not for you."
Wow.
And at that point, okay, well, the trash is already there.
Sounds like you might be down near God's waiting room down there or something like that.
Well, it's towards the state line. It's down there right by the Maryland-Delaware line.
Okay, so people that are down there a lot of time have a lot of time to kill.
And that was followed up, again, I'm so glad you brought this up because this was followed up by an incident with a husband as well. Later in the day, when I'm coming back from running some errands, I see the husband outside who has got the maintenance guys from his high-rise building, and they are moving the dumpster off of the street and moving it into this little area, like inside by where the cars are parked. And as I'm driving by, I see the old guy pointing at me.
Oh, my God.
And say, you know, that's the guy. That's the guy who
the hell is wrong with people.
Put his garbage in there. So I told this to Frida, and she, of course, went, you know, 8S, saying, you know, you're going to alienate us with the neighbors. Well, I don't care.
Were they in a building next to yours?
They're catty corner, across the street. Right. Anyway, long story. Thanks for bringing that up, though.
Yeah, I just, you know, I mean, once in a while, I guess we call it our own executive privilege, right? Where I take your lead on this a couple of times where you said, "Hey, do you ever listen to the radio?" And I was really close by the radio station. You know, I just thought I'd lay that on him. I said, you know, "Listen at 3 o'clock." And, you know, he's like, you know, his little chin. He looked like, who did he look like? He looked like, Shaggy. You know,
Singer or the Scooby-Doo guy?
Scooby-Doo guy.
Oh, the Scooby-Doo guy, okay.
Yeah, so it was fun. It was satisfying, so there you go.
Mike, we should not be angry today. It's a joyous day.
Yes.
Today is Elvis from Memphis. Robbie, how old would he have been today?
68.
Elvis's 68th birthday.
My God, Elvis would have been 68.
And we absolutely still love Elvis. Love everything about him.
Amen.
We celebrate his death, and to a lesser extent, we celebrate his birth.
Seems like the bigger deal down in Graceland, where, you know, where he lived for years and years, is done on his death day, but his birthday is significant also.
So we're going to have some of your Elvis favorites today. Robbie and I were talking before the show. We're going to have the probably the Elvis eating story today, and maybe the drinking, codeine cough syrup out of champagne glasses,
yes,
with a teenage girl story, and maybe the sex story. The guy, the Swedish Elvis impersonator, will come on the show later today. He's retiring.
Wow. Oh, boy, that's a tragedy for the entertainment industry. Sure.
And again, Robbie, I don't know the guy's name is, I can never pronounce it.
Aylert Palar.
Aylert Palar. And the guy, we played his record 1 year on the show, and he sold a bunch of copies of it. He's a Swedish Elvis impersonator.
And really, I think, holds the distinction as probably the worst I've ever heard.
And anyway, he's retiring. So we've booked him today. Let me get this CD in and just give you a taste of this, because I don't want the whole show to be Elvis today, but let's hear just a little bit of the Swedish king of Elvis impersonators, who sadly is retiring.
Won't throw a pod in the car door yet. The policemen were begun to well. The band go to jump, do begun to swing. You to the heart, so yellow hot thing, let's rock.
Yeah, do it, babe.
Perfect rhythm.
Let's rock.
Hard to believe he's retiring.
Everybody holds their blood.
Swedish.
Hold that booty.
The Swedish Elvis. You'll hear more of that when he joins us later today.
I'm wondering how much of that is no rhythm and how much of that is just a simple lack of knowledge of the English language.
You know what, Robbie? You're going to have to also... I know the machines are full. You're going to have to load the Joe Ardinger music in, please.
Okay. Yes.
So I had a discussion with Joe about our Joe Millionaire thing.
How did that go?
I'll tell you in a second. While we're waiting for that... About TV, is there really right now a better show than 24?
No. Man, 24, just, I'm a mile a minute, almost like a good video game.
You know, that show never freaking stops. I mean, every time they hit a commercial break,
right,
you're dying for it to come right back on again.
And every time you're waiting for a lull in the plot, I mean, something else happens.
It never happens.
Go, go, go.
Were you guys like me and get a big smile at 9 o'clock when they said, due to some adult content, viewers
graphic violence. Nasty was going to be in there.
Well, it was the guy that was hanging in the shower that had the sander on his balls or whatever they were doing.
Black and Decker mouth,
yeah,
actually.
Is that what it was?
I think so, with a wire wheel on it.
It was pretty nasty stuff.
It made me groan.
It's hard to believe that. We really screwed the pooch when that show was first coming out. We had Kiefer Sutherland on the show. And, of course, we didn't know anything about 24.
No.
We thought it was just going to be another piece of garbage Fox show.
Right.
And he was saying he was so proud of it, the best work he's ever done. And,
he's consistent every week, week in, week out. And I still like that evil lady on the show. The lady's going to shoot him. I like her. I don't know why I like her, but she does it for me.
And the show taking place in real time. In 1 hour last night, he survived a plane crash, fought off a small army, and was taken hostage. It's amazing.
Nina, it was like a video game.
Yeah. Nina, this is not over.
And then bingo, right? Right to the end of the show.
Mr. President, you've made the right decision.
That president's wife is a bad lady.
Yeah.
Well,
she's trouble with a capital T.
I disagree, Mike.
You think she's going to be a hero?
No, she used to work for Larry Sanders. Bad could she be?
She was Beverly, right?
Yeah, was Larry's Larry's assistant, his secretary. Yeah, I agree. She's bad news, man.
I think she's really might be at the center of a lot of this evil stuff.
Kiefer Sutherland, he's got two speeds. It's either that very slow... This is not over. Or it's just the total hyper. Move now! Go to the top of the hill! Throw me the ammo! Throw me! Dive! Dive! Down! Down!
Stand down!
It's great.
It's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Stand down! Great show.
Drop your weapons.
Really great show. And I don't know if you don't watch 24, you have no idea what we're talking about. But do you think that the Arab guy who's got the British accent, who sold out his father-in-law,
mm-hmm,
do you think there's a chance that he's really
the bad guy?
The bad guy?
Yeah, I do think it's the old bait and switch. I think it's gonna turn out that the father really was working for the United States government, and that they were trying to get the real bad guy, and that the fiance, the British Arab guy, is actually going to be a bad guy.
I think the bad guy is the little blonde girl.
She has got to be one of the ugliest children, without a doubt. And if the formula holds true, she will grow up to be a beautiful woman.
Absolutely.
Because she is just a butt-ugly child. Like, she was hit with the ugly stick by mommy and daddy when she was growing up.
And they got to go back to L.A. now, which is where all the bad stuff's going to happen.
That's right.
Boy, and I just hope, really, it is just my own personal thing, that during that show, at some point, do you think that maybe the Jack Bauer's daughter will have some sort of a costume change? Because really, I'm getting a little tired of that top.
Mike, I'm hoping for a shower scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping...
They got to clean her up, don't you think?
When she and her ratty boyfriend get taken back to Los Angeles...
She and Angela?
She... When she and the bright boy, Angelo Pagan, get taken
Pagan.
Back... Pagan. Excuse me, Angelo right. Pagan. Hey, you know... Never mind. I was going to say something about Angelo. Never mind.
Angelo's a very nice guy. Yes, we like him very much.
Never mind.
Hey, we're throwing a bachelor party for him.
He faxed us a copy of his resume.
Ah.
And I think our resume is better than his resume.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
He's been on The King of Queens a couple of times.
Yes, guess the little... not extra, he has speaking roles, right?
He, he's been on the show 24... twice. He's played, I guess, agents at the, what's the C?
CTU.
CTU.
CTU, counterterrorism unit, right?
And he was on something like Solid Gold or something like that. He's been on like 5 shows.
Very good.
He faxed us his resume yesterday.
And he is the maitre d' of Vivian's.
Yes, the Angelo special.
The Angelo special.
Which really, to each his own, but that dish did not sound completely appealing to me.
No, well, you know what makes it special? Angelo probably spits in the food or something.
You know? Like in Casino?
Because
they spit in the sandwiches?
Because he's got to be so mad
bitter
that his real job
right
is being the maitre d' at his mm-hmm fiancé's restaurant.
Working under, what's her name?
The bitchy sister-in-law, Nicole.
Nicole, working under Nicole.
Anyway, 24 is a great show, and you should watch it. Before we get to the Elvis stuff, and we have George Foreman coming in today.
I love George Foreman.
Yeah. We're absolutely jam-packed. We got some mail, some faxes over the holiday, and we never got to them. I want to share them with you. One is from a guy, I'm going to read his name, first name Richard. From Baltimore.
Richard, don't hide from your feelings.
And I don't know if this guy's on the up and up or what, but he writes, Dear Don and Mike, if you guys are having an end-of-year contest, I want to throw in a prize for all gay male contestants. I want to call my contest the Break Gay Virgin Men Virginity Contest. My rules are simple. All men must be between 21 and 30. Must be virgin gay males.
Hey.
Want their virginity broken by me,
hey,
a fat man.
Hey.
Must want to break their virginity December 31st after 11:58 p.m. Must be an Asian, Greek, or Native American man.
Oh, my God. Oh,
must dear live here in the Baltimore City area or be in Baltimore on New Year's Eve / New Year's Day. Must be muscular or in shape. If they fax you a picture of themselves, I would appreciate that. If not, they can fax me. Make sure that they call me first. I hook up my fax machine. Winners will be called if they're in Baltimore for a visit. I'm willing to serve them free champagne, condoms, and a cuddle.
Sounds like they might end up in a crawl space somewhere.
Let me try to call this guy right now. We were not able to get to this, obviously.
Wasn't it Jeffrey Dahmer that went after Asian males?
Hold on.
Yeah, it was his little thing. Very, very weird.
Call the guy now. Of course, it's after the new year, but I wonder if he got anybody to help him with this project.
We'll have to find out.
Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to do this phone thing. Let me make sure I dialed it correctly first. Because I don't hear a ring.
No.
Right now, I screwed that up.
Break their virginity. Break it.
Yeah.
There you go. Come on, baby. Oh, there you go. Take that out of program. Put that in audition. Audition. Okay.
Now put this in audition.
Put that in audition.
Right.
So now, right, that's not on the air.
Right.
There you go. Okay. Phone is just ringing.
I can hear it loud.
Well, Mike, technically, it's in the right position. Hello? Hello?
I think you can leave a message.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, this is...
483.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. He's not there. Obviously, he's not there.
Hello? Hello?
You can start faxing now. Thank you.
There
oh,
he is.
Oh, it's faxing.
Hey, Richard, it's... Hi, Dick. It's Don and Mike.
Hello.
We received your fax about Asian, Greek, Native American men who want to have their virginity broken by you, a fat man, on December 31st. Sorry we weren't here.
Yeah, we're real sorry about that.
But give us a call or fax us back and let us know if you're still up for this.
So to speak.
Right. See you later. Bye-bye.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Another fax we got. boy, I hate stuff like this. It's one of these syrupy, like Jack Diamond in the morning things.
Mm-hmm.
And the header is... Please help me this Christmas.
Oh, boy.
But listen to the story, and then you'll hear that maybe we can help.
Okay, all right.
Dear Don and Mike, between you and me, I need your help. I am 21 with one child. This was obviously sent after we went on vacation.
Baby's having babies.
My boyfriend, who I live with, has a son also.
Mm.
We both came from awful relationships and have found each other, and we're living well. So much has happened this last month that he and I don't have much left. Yesterday he was advised he was fired from his job. I work, but his money is what makes our household work. To top it off, his car has broken down. Most people ask for a gift for their children, and that's great. But our children are squared away but with the loss of job and car, I cannot do anything for him this Christmas. I want to do something special for him. Now with this news, he is so depressed, he's finding it hard to be happy.
Like when you read the faxes that come during the holidays. And it's, we want to help you for Christmas on January 8th.
Well, you know, we weren't here.
I know, it's funny.
I want to give him something that he'll never forget.
How was your Christmas?
His parents didn't have money when he was young. He never got to experience Christmas. Please do not share this over the radio. Well, that's too bad. Between us, can you make my Christmas wish come true? What I'm thinking is we can call this woman and perhaps send some of the many strip agencies that we have involved with the show and send a two-girl show to this guy.
What guy wouldn't like a two-girl show?
As a post-Christmas gift.
Since we didn't make it for the holiday, we could actually, take care of that.
Because it's really just an unbroken rule that generally, if you're going to send a letter like this with a heading, please help me this Christmas,
right,
we're not the guys to handle that.
No, but we you know, on this particular one, since we missed the holiday, we'd like to help.
You have your own.
And, you know, and I like to, you know, well, the one thing in that letter I like, they said the kids were squared away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They didn't hide behind the kids. They said, hey, I just want to do something nice for my husband.
Right.
And what nicer to do than a two-girl show?
Yeah.
A quality two-girl show.
Total nudity. All right, again, let me take this off the air.
Serious quality.
Yes.
There you go. It's ringing. Now it's ringing at dawn. I'm trying the home number first.
Very good.
I guess since he's lost his job. Well, maybe he'll be there.
Yeah, should be.
I would think so. Well, he might be out pounding the pavement.
They sent this on December 19.
Okay.
And it's now January 8th. And I'm getting nothing.
You know, many places you mail a package on December 19th. It's not going to get there at Christmas.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm going to get
it. Not that it was an afterthought, but it was an afterthought.
All right, let me try your business number. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Two-girl show.
Okay, hold on.
And that's a gift that you can give any time of the year.
And if he's one of the Orthodox religions, he's just now celebrating Christmas, so this will be right on time.
What, Greek Orthodox?
Yeah, like that. Around January 7th, 8th is when their Christmas season starts.
Buzz, you're such a fountain of knowledge about this stuff.
Yes, I am.
I think yesterday was Epiphany or the 12th day of Christmas.
Buzz actually flies down to Carpenter Springs, Florida.
Hold on, guys. I got somebody here. Is Tiffany there? This is the Don and Mike radio show. This is the Don and Mike radio show. Thank you very much, you useless C-word.
Oh!
Ooh.
You just put me right on hold.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays!
There we go. Rob, you want to get out the Christmas music?
Yeah, it's Christmas in January.
Tiffany? Hi, this is Don and Mike. Hi, we're fine. Would you mind coming on the radio? That's fine, she says. All right, well, here she is.
Hi, Tiffany.
Here's, hi.
Tiffany?
Yes.
Let me see. Is she on the air? There we go.
Sorry, we were out of town for the holiday, Tiffany.
Okay.
Listen, we received your letter.
Okay.
And you know that, generally speaking, we're not the guys to send a letter saying, please help me this Christmas.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, it's not our bag, baby.
But as I mentioned a moment ago, Tiffany, I like the fact that in your letter you said the kids were squared away. That appealed to me, and we would like to do something nice for your husband.
Okay.
Now, let me see. Without giving out, I don't recognize the area code. Can you tell me what city you listen to our show in?
Where I live.
Yeah, well, no, just with the city you listen to us in.
The city that I listen to you guys in?
Yes.
I listen to you guys in Trenton.
Trenton, New Jersey.
Okay,
yes.
Very
listen
good.
On YSP. Do you listen on WYSP? Okay.
This isn't too difficult for you, is it, Tiffany?
No, I'm just right. Nervous. I'm freaking out.
All right, don't worry about it.
Don't freak out. You know, generally speaking, we're not generous guys. We don't do charity stuff like that.
Bottom line here is you want to do something nice for your man, right?
Yes.
So, we want to make this happen. What is his first name?
Matt.
Okay. Here's what we were thinking. From us to him, via you.
A late Christmas present.
Okay.
What we would like to do is, and we can, this will be on us, our dime, two of the finest exotic dancers on the East Coast to come to your home. Of course, now you take Junior, you take both of the kids out and...
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want them around for this.
Take him to a movie or Chuck E. Cheese's and put him in daycare or something for a while. And your husband can enjoy a wonderful two-girl sex show.
That's crazy.
What's that?
That's crazy.
Crazy or crazy good or crazy crazy?
I don't know. I think that's crazy.
No, I think it's crazy good.
He'd love it.
I don't think so.
Well, wouldn't he be the judge of that?
Well, he's not really that type of guy, though.
How do you know?
What, he doesn't like naked girls?
Probably. really, but I don't know. That's strange.
Don't you think that would cheer him up?
I don't think so.
You mean two naked girls putting on a show for him wouldn't cheer him up?
I don't think so.
What kind of a man is he, huh?
Well, it's not him. We're not talking to him.
Yeah, why don't you run it by him and let us know?
Okay.
Or even better, just have him call the show.
Okay.
Have him give us a call, and if he wants the show, he wants the show.
Okay.
Because we were thinking, gosh, what could we do? And
we missed the holiday. We felt horrible about that.
You know, right. We were on vacation when we received your fax, and generally we don't do stuff like this, but as Mike mentioned, you wrote that, you know, the kids were fine and that you're working and you just want to do something for him.
That is a minimum $200 value.
Well, this is something that would be just for him. As a matter of fact, you know, what am I saying? Get the kids out. You probably shouldn't be there either.
Yeah, or you know, or maybe you should be there.
If you want to watch.
If he'd like that kind of thing.
Who knows?
I don't know. I'll have to run it by him.
Well, you run it by him, but that's our offer. I don't know what you were looking for.
Tiffany, you sound less than thrilled.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be greedy. I really don't. It's very nice that you thought of me.
What were you thinking of when you wrote us?
To say.
When you wrote us this letter, please help me this Christmas, what were you thinking that we would...
I was thinking like a CD or something. I wasn't thinking of anything like that.
A CD?
Anything.
This is so much more than a CD.
I know, but I really wasn't thinking anything like that.
A CD?
Jesus,
what's that? It's like $10.
Yeah, I know, but at least it was just something nice. I just wanted to do something.
Well, you're not
like...
greedy then.
No.
You're not greedy at all if you just wanted a CD, but think about how much more this is.
I know, but I don't know. That's I don't like that.
It's like a live CD.
I don't like that.
What if you don't like that?
What if we send him some porno?
Oh my god, he would like that.
Oh,
would like that.
So instead of the two girls show, he'd like. What if it was like $200 worth of porno?
Yeah, what if we sent like some dildos and stuff?
Oh my god. That's right up his alley.
Oh, I see. I think. Yeah. And you share that desire with him?
I'm not going to say that.
Yeah. Oh, I bet you do.
I'm going to plead a fifth on that one.
All right.
Tiffany, let me ask you a couple of questions then. If we were to send, for instance, a dildo.
Right.
And some films.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we'll send the films. But if we send like oils and all the usual stuff. The dildo, would you like the medium, large, or extra large?
I'm not going to say that.
Well, no, we need to know, would you like that supersized?
I'm not going to say
that. And would you like it...
I'm sure those places that we deal with have gift baskets, right, where we could have the edible panties in there and everything.
And would you like a nice big black dildo?
Oh, my God, that's awful.
Or would you prefer it, you know... Caucasian pink?
The standard
latex? It can come with batteries or without, with remote control, without.
Oh my God.
If you like, we can throw in some analese.
Oh, my God.
And if you're really, you know, if we really talk to the people that run these stores, maybe the anal bullet.
Oh, my God. You guys are awful.
I see Buzz on his Palm Pilot. Buzz, are you
checking his sources.
Yeah, looking up our friends at Night Dreams.
So Buzz might be going shopping for you.
It can happen.
Listen, Tiffany, here's what we'll do. We'll put you on hold. We'll get your address.
Okay.
And tomorrow, we'll have Buzz go to the store and buy an assortment of what Buzz considers to be the highest quality hardcore porn, along with various appendages, dildos.
They know you at Night Dreams by now.
Yeah, we're friends.
Buzz.
Yes.
Okay.
Vibrators, lubricants, jellies, the whole deal, the butt plugs, everything Mike was talking about.
The anal bullet.
And we'll overnight it to you.
Okay.
And then you can get back to us and let us know how he enjoyed this after Christmas gift.
So see, we were even able to modify that. You didn't want the two girls show, and now we're sending you a gift basket, and there'll be things there that you can enjoy too.
Right. Okay. So that's a little better than the two girls.
And how's it going with him and his job?
He's in between now, looking. So he's on the road. I mean, it's hard, but. He'll find something.
In between now, you're 21 and you've got one, and
he's 28 and he has one.
He's 20 and he's got one. So it's babies having babies. what about now? Well, golly, I mean, what about getting married? I mean, have you thought about that? I mean, it's, you know, it's bastard children everywhere.
Oh yeah, definitely. We talk about that all the time.
Okay. So you're gonna wait till he gets a gig before you.
Yeah, we want to make sure that everything's set in place before we go ahead and take that step. Financially, we want to make sure everything's okay.
Of course.
Okay. Very good.
But it sounds like when you get this gift basket, you'll be able to have a lovely evening.
Yeah, definitely. definitely.
Hey, do you have availability of, like, is there a mom or a dad to sit, a babysitter?
Yeah, my mom always watches.
So you can get the kids out of the house for
yeah,
a
yeah.
Good. You make sure you you tell your mom that we're sending over some goodies. Can we ask the celebrity you most resemble, Tiffany?
They say Gwen Stefani.
Oh,
Gwen Stefani.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? You have any tattoos?
Yes, I do.
Oh, do you really? Any piercings?
Actually, no, I don't. I used to have my eyebrow and my belly, and then when I got pregnant, I took my belly out, and I just took the eyebrow, did away with that.
Oh, you did away with that. All right.
Listen, who says we're not nice guys? We're going to, even though it's after Christmas, and generally it goes against every being of our fiber.
Yes, kind of damages our reputation when
right.
we do nice things.
Get this thing, this is the big header, please help me this Christmas.
Right, exactly.
We are going to help you. Tiffany, all we ask is that you get back to us after you get our box.
And let you know how it went?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, thank you. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
Thanks, Tiffany.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Hold
thank
on.
Thank you.
Hold on, please.
All right.
Okay. Well,
I found it very difficult not to like Tiffany. It was it was kind of impossible not to like her.
Of course.
And then when she came out and said she simply wanted a CD.
Yeah.
You know, then we, Buzz, you make sure that basket's very special.
It's done.
Hey, all you other listeners out there.
Is that it for 2003?
Yeah, you know, the gravy train ends right there. That's it. That's the only nice thing we're doing for anybody in the year 2003.
That, if they ask for it. You know, we occasionally will do nice things for people that don't ask for it. But if you send us a letter asking, there's just no way.
No, never forget this day. Because I guarantee you, we are going to bookmark this day.
Right.
And at some point, somebody is going to call us a-holes or jerk-offs.
And you've got this.
And we're going to say,
what about the gift basket?
what about the dildos and the pornos that we sent to the lady? Please help us this Christmas.
You gave her choice.
There you go.
It's dealer's choice, which means the black one, Buzz.
Yeah.
You got it.
She didn't pick one.
It's got to be
the big one.
Black / purple. The one with the big base.
Right.
The one that we had in here the last time.
That monster.
The one that really shows. You know, frightens people.
Yeah.
That one that doesn't need batteries, but that thing that's made out of the Play-Doh.
Latex?
Stuff. Yeah, latex.
Right.
An old tire.
Right. Let her get a taste of that.
So to speak.
Be fantastic.
So to speak.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. I got two quick things.
Yeah.
Did you see the 24 previews for next week?
I did.
Yes.
Did you see the Arab guy with the British accent at the computer getting shot?
No, I didn't catch that.
If you watch it again, he's at the computer. They're looking up that purchase order number.
Right.
And someone comes in with a gun with a silencer and shoots him. 10-1, it's the blonde bride.
Yeah, I thought the blonde. Well, no, I think it's the sister, maybe.
Well, the sister's being tortured right now.
And the blonde bride.
And the guy, the bad guy, the terrorist, as he walked out of the room, he just said, kill her.
Right, right.
You know, and one of the four scenes at the end was her just sitting there with her boyfriend with his nuts cut off or whatever happened, and she was just...
You know, they shot him.
Yeah.
Shot the boyfriend.
Had that nice butcher outfit on.
Yeah. He looked disappointed when the guy shot him. Like, he couldn't continue with the torture.
Sure. Absolutely. All right. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks.
Is that it?
Oh, no. Actually, Mike, I had something for you. Wanted to give you a heads up.
Yes.
Have you heard what the Fairfax County cops are doing in bars?
Yeah. Yeah, I have heard that, and it's kind of strange. I'm surprised you didn't have that on the news.
What is it, Mike?
They actually now, and it's perfectly legal, according to the ACLU, they can walk into a bar. And they've done this on a couple of occasions, walked into bars. The restaurant owners are not liking this at all and given people sobriety checks inside the bars.
Well, that's not
and
right.
Don't they arrest them, sir, or something like that?
Yep, because the bar is considered a public place, so they can be arrested for public.
So if you're loaded in a bar, they can walk into the bar, check your breath, and take a breath, and then arrest you for drunk in public.
God, so the only place you can get drunk now is at home, right?
Apparently.
God, that sucks.
I don't get it, and I don't understand it. It's, the whole thing is, the way I understand it, drunk driving. That's what they're trying to fight, but walking into... The bar owners are not real happy about this.
Just another great reason to turn the lights off and stay in your own bedroom.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
What's going on, man? I'm my name is Matthew Medico. I'm out of Philly.
Hi there.
I just heard you guys giving away dildos to that lady.
Tiffany, yes.
Well, I make Pyrex glass dildos, and I was wondering if you guys would be interested. I'll donate one.
There's the holiday spirit.
That'd be nice.
I think weeks after Christmas.
I think I've seen some of your work in Penthouse magazine.
Yeah, we love that. Hold on, for a glass dildo. Wow, you got to be careful with that.
You
baby.
Sure do.
Microwave safe.
You got to be careful.
Oh, heat them up.
Thank you.
All right.
Hold on. Hold on just a second.
We got to break. It's a stupid law. Goddamn. Delaware.
I spent some time in Delaware while we were on vacation, and they have a no-smoking rule now in Delaware. Everywhere.
You can't smoke in a restaurant, right. Can't smoke on the street.
If you go into a bar, mm-hmm. and you want to have a cigarette, or in my case, a cigar,
right.
you can't.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, Delaware is tax-free, mm-hmm. so you can cross the state line, go to Delaware, buy your cigarettes, buy your cigars, pay no sales tax, yet if you want to light up in a bar, you can't do it.
Florida implemented a similar law very, very recently.
It sucks. It's very California-ish. I think it blows.
You know, it seems to me cops are coming into the bars off the street and testing people for sobriety, and you can't smoke a cigar in a bar. Well, what's happening to vice in America right now?
No one fought that.
Catch the bad guys.
I mean, really, no, there are a lot of dangerous people in this country. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to them, please.
Catch the bad guys. And if I see one more sign that says, Delaware, a smoke-free state, I swear, I'm not a violent man, but I'm gonna shoot that sign down. That way I got news for you. I smoked in Delaware.
But not, you don't own a gun. What are you going to shoot it with?
With my D.
Your DNA?
I'll whip out my D and I go, boom, how you like that? How you like me now? Shoot some DNA.
It's amazing body control.
I actually was during vacation. Man, I'm remembering so much stuff now from vacation. My wife and I were in this place called Fenwick Island,
mm-hmm.
which is right over the state line, and she was in some goddamn antique store, of course. And I didn't want to go in, so I was sitting outside in my car. And after a while, I got tired of sitting in the car, so I was sitting on the front step of the store smoking a cigar when somebody driving by honked their horn and pointed at me. You know, and was indicating Delaware is a no-smoking state.
I had no idea. Was it an old person from the 30th floor?
Yeah.
That same person following you around.
Yeah, well, okay, let's
put that cigar out and don't pee on my bushes.
Let's give away $1,000 now if we can with the secret sound, and then we're going to be starting the Elvis birthday show, and Georgie Foreman's coming in today. Phone number 877-365-3636. Identify this common everyday sound. Win $1,000. Dial recklessly right now, you animals, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
His friends say Elvis did anything to get more drugs, resorting even to self-mutilation.
He's got his foot on the examining stool, and there's a hole as big as a quarter. He was digging in his foot. And he looked at me and he said, I ought to get some good stuff with this.
The Don and Mike Show.
Happy birthday, Eve.
Where you can always count on some ass play. The Don and Mike Show.
Ass play.
Hey, Joey Artinger, come in here, please, before call 100. And give me just a moment, Mike.
Yes.
Everybody around the station's buzzing about my incredible Oprah-like weight loss.
Yeah, it's incredible. How's it happening?
Came in with a wagon.
Down 22 pounds as of today, and here's how. Let me just enjoy a beautiful can of creamy milk chocolate BM. This Slim Fast. I'm about to kill myself from this junk. I mean, it works, but, oh.
I like it.
Impossible.
I do. I like it.
You really like it.
What flavor are you up there? I have a chocolate one, either two or three. Four times a day, and every time I have one with usually a fried bologna sandwich.
I hear it's just like going to an ice cream store.
It's creamy.
It is delicious.
You really don't like the flavor?
Mm-mm.
I enjoy it. Rich chocolate.
I can have three or four.
You know what the best flavor is? If you can find it, they don't always stock it as hamburger.
Medium rare.
So that's it.
How was that?
That's my meal for the next 3 hours.
Have you had the strawberry?
Yeah, they're all the same.
They're not. No, they're not. The strawberry is very delicate. DM.
Here is Joey Artinger now, everybody.
Hello.
And we have news about Joe Artinger, millionaire. That we had some arm pulling with Joe yesterday to get him to go ahead with this. And it was after the show, I was thinking about it, about the process of bringing 20 girls down. The whole thing, we've given each girl a necklace. And the amount of time it's going to take, and finally just decided, screw it. And I contacted Joe and said, how about you just take your girlfriend? Because all we really want is Joe dressed up. What are you looking at me like that for?
What?
What we really want is Joe.
I might have to be involved in some of these negotiations. This is ridiculous. We're now going to have Joe take his girlfriend out?
Yeah, and hear me out on that.
I will.
Please hear me out.
All right.
I will. We still get Joe wearing a tuxedo, going to the fancy places, being awkward and junk. But
that's for sure.
We get the, how do I say this, the comfortable Joe, and we get a real glimpse inside the real life of Joe, rather than hear the awkward conversation between Joe and a stranger, we get to hear Joe's real life girlfriend. I don't know, that works for me. If it doesn't work for you, tell me.
Well, no, I mean, I'm very surprised. I thought maybe you were going to, like, narrow it down to one stranger or something like that.
You know, the whole, I don't know. This is what I'm thinking. You know, the whole thing with getting girls to come down here, and then I don't know how Joe's going to be with a...
Well, he doesn't want to do it, obviously.
...stranger. Right. But he said yesterday that he'd do it with his girlfriend.
All right.
Isn't that something you had said?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you talked to her?
Yes.
That's generous of you.
You talked to her, Joey?
Yes, I did.
It's generous that you'll go out to a nice fancy restaurant in a limo with your girlfriend, Joe.
Joe.
That's very nice of you, Joe. I think that's really, really terrific.
No, don't put this on him.
All right. Okay.
I am the one.
Well, as an impartial observer, I don't mean to be difficult here, but, you know, it's just, now it's like, of course, we were going to do a Joe Millionaire thing, and now it's, Joe gets, you know, hey, how exciting, Joe gets to take his girlfriend out.
I still think the bottom line, though, is the payoff on the whole thing was going to be the tape of Joe
right.
going through the evening procession.
Mm-hmm.
We can still have Joe do all the other stuff. We can still have Joe take the foreign language lessons. We can still have Joe go to the tea.
Right.
We can dress him up in the tuxedo. Make him go to the fancy restaurants. You just get to hear relaxed Joe with his girlfriend.
What?
Yeah, that'll be funny.
What, you don't think so?
No, I don't think so. I don't mean to be difficult, but it was so... I was really... When you had this idea, this was your idea.
Yeah.
That sounded so good that we were going to do, like, a duplication of the Joe Millionaire thing.
But now, the more I thought about it, the more I thought just of the headache. Not only... And, you know, I'm not concerned about Joe's feelings.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole process.
Right.
Of getting the girls down here, and Joe asks them a dumb question, and then... We go through that, and then he picks the one girl. Well, why not just let him take his girlfriend, who he already knows, who we don't know anything about?
Well, if you want to do it that way, that's fine. I mean, I'm surprised that it turned out this way. I thought it was going to be...
I think it'll be easier.
It'll be easier, yes. It'll be easier. It'll be easier for... him.
I think it'll be easier for us.
God forbid.
Yes, God forbid.
That's the only thing about
no, Joe, I just think really, if I can be honest with you, I mean, Don had a great idea for this, and, you know, I mean, we were all talking about what we've been through on this show, and frankly, I thought you kind of copped out on us. I mean, I really did. And
don't bust his balls.
All right.
Because
I don't know whose balls to bust on it.
Well, bust my balls.
It was such a great idea. It was such a, but if we want to do this with Joe taking, you know, we'll call the game, Joe takes his girlfriend out to dinner.
If I had come to you yesterday,
yes,
and approached it like that, though,
right.
You probably would have bought it, right?
Like Joe, I mean, if like without the whole Joe Millionaire thing.
If I just said
Joe goes out to a fancy French restaurant
it's still Joe Millionaire.
Yeah.
So
we treat Joe like a millionaire.
Like he's a millionaire. That was really...
Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking. If you came to me like without any of the Joe Millionaire stuff that I was all excited about, you know, and then...
Joe Arden's your millionaire.
Right.
Which for me was still the heart of it.
Right.
Was that you take Joe and take a look at him.
Right.
And we dress him up in a fancy suit.
Right.
We send him to the classy restaurant. We make him go to the tea of the Four Seasons.
Okay.
And we tape the whole thing.
All right.
And I was thinking if he takes his girlfriend... And Joe said nothing about this to me. This is for me. If he takes his girlfriend, we get the relaxed Joe. We get the real conversation between Joe and his girlfriend.
Very good.
And we've never had that glimpse inside the Ardinger life.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the goofy... Why do you give me the goofy look?
I'm actually losing my attention span.
Wow.
Joe.
Oh,
Joe.
Wow.
And also that...
Did I mention I got bored in the dentist chair last week?
Joe.
That was another part of the decision process.
Right.
Remember that if 20 girls are going to come in, and we're going to have this guy with our collective nuts on the line asking the questions and stuff.
Right. Right. We could prepare the questions for him, but that's okay. Whatever.
Oh, come on.
No, it's fine. I'm with it. You know, Joe going to a fancy restaurant. That'll be fun.
Joe Millionaire going to a fancy restaurant. As a millionaire.
That'll be fine.
And we'll get him the carriage like the girls are coming up to the place with.
Absolutely.
Where are we going
to get a carriage?
Do the whole thing. They got them downtown.
Oh, that's right.
They've got them downtown.
We get a carriage.
So you take a carriage ride, and you know, you're going to have to do the legwork on this with your gal pal, you know, get her fixed up, you know, get her hair done, whatever it takes.
Right.
What's her first name? We met her at the Christmas party, but I don't remember her. Do you?
I don't remember meeting her at the Christmas party. I don't remember meeting anyone at the Christmas party.
What is her first name, Joe?
Can we just call her Terry for now?
All right, Terry.
Terry.
And you said
Terry. How does Terry feel about the air, being on the air?
Fine with it.
She's okay with it?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was in the writer's meeting, and Don called me, and...
Mm-hmm.
Said, make sure that she's okay with it.
Okay. Call them before the show. Just cut through all the BS. Just because maybe I didn't articulate that to you yesterday when I was talking about it.
Right.
That for me, that's the bottom line payoff is
sure.
that you get.
Bottom
you know, line. You get this guy. We treat him like a millionaire.
All right.
And we get the tape recorder. We follow him through the entire night.
Very good.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
There he goes, everybody. There's Joe.
Joe's the guy who wears a shirt that says Joe on it.
Joe. Yeah. Are you pissed at me now?
No, I'm not. No. Believe me, it's not big enough for me to get pissed about.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, when he was in here yesterday, I was pissed at him. I was pissed at him with the whole thing about the, you know, the ultimatum. You owe me big time. It's just, you know, the fact of the matter is that guy, we have all pulled those uncomfortable moments on the show. And, you know, hey, Joe's done a couple of them, though. You know, Joe's done his uncomfortable moments.
Yeah,
and I sure like trick-or-treating for beer.
Yes. Yeah. Who doesn't?
Whenever I have my real problems with Joe, I think back to trick-or-treating for beer.
And he was pretty good when he
smiled. I smile every time.
He was pretty good when he covered the riots for us.
Yes, he was.
The Maryland basketball riots.
He stepped up in the past and done things, and that's fine. The thing is, I have nothing to do with this idea. When you came on and sold this idea, I got all kind of pumped up about, you know, because I literally put Joe into the Joe Millionaire thing. But the discomfort factor for Joe is being in the fancy places, and if we still do that, it will have entertainment value.
And it could. And knowing Joe, if we had put him with a stranger, he probably would have clammed up. Well, Buzz is really his best friend on the show. You would know better than anybody, Buzz.
Yeah.
I got the feeling he would have
clammed
up.
I thought I was his best friend on the show.
Well.
I got the feeling we wouldn't get a whole lot of Joe material.
Well, you know, the way he was yesterday, I mean, it was going to be, what it would have been would have been pretty awful.
Yeah.
It would have been difficult maybe to get women to participate because Joe was not a willing participant. I mean, he dug his heels in.
Well, there wasn't a problem with women because we had the one girl from Philly call that we had other girls.
Yeah, they wanted to participate.
Off the air who wanted to do it.
Right.
And the guy offered the pearl necklaces, too.
The question is with his own girlfriend, is he more or less likely to lose his attention span?
Yeah, like he did when he was in here before.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by what his personal life must be like, though. The dinner conversation, because we're going to do is make him wear one of those lavalier, one of those clip-on microphones.
Right.
Make him wear it all night.
Well, that'll be funny.
Every second.
I mean, just following him around will be funny.
Right.
Following him around even if he didn't go to the fancy restaurant.
Right, would be good.
You could do that for a week and it would be funny.
Right.
You know, just with him getting up in the morning. Oh, sunshine.
Well, anyway, Joe. George.
And I know he thinks I hate him. I know he thinks I hate him a lot. I don't hate him as much as he thinks I do. I want him to know.
That's very nice of you.
I used to love him. I love Joe more than anybody else on this show. I was the Joe guy, you know, that I was, you know, Charlie and Joe, anybody remember that? That was Joe and me doing our thing. And it just tended to deteriorate since this whole thing is going on.
I think you'll like Joe Millionaire, Jordan's Millionaire.
And remember, I mean, this is your idea. I didn't have anything to do with this. So, I mean, I was just excited about the idea.
It's not even my idea. I'm just ripping off something that's popular right now.
We've done that before, and that, you know, having Joe, I still, as much as it might be difficult for our listeners to believe, I still enjoy the Joe segments because as much as I get mad at him and I get pissed at him, he makes me laugh even when I'm getting pissed at him because he's over there like when he says he loses his attention span.
You got more of it.
And I think that with him, like, you know, not to pound this home, but...
And Rob loves him, too.
With his girlfriend, you're going to get the real Joe.
Yeah, more relaxed.
Now, there's the wild card. The girlfriend.
Right.
We must do an interview.
I believe
what type of lady?
Yes, and what would she like to wear?
Right.
How would she like her hair done?
Yes.
You know, where would she like to go?
Would she like us to groom Joe?
Slick his hair back? Wouldn't it be great if when you got the mic on him, all of a sudden he started talking like David Niven?
Claire, that's a lovely foie gras.
Not a chance.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Terry. Pass the wine, will you, please?
Not a chance.
Fathers expect more from a kid named Joe.
So anyway, that's going to be the gist of the Joe Millionaire.
Wonderful.
Joe Ardinger Millionaire. Okay, so please, you're going to be mad at anybody, be mad at me.
How can I be mad at you? All right. I read that press release yesterday.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, Don. How are you?
Hi, we're doing great. Who is this?
This is Jeff.
Jeff, where are you from?
I'm from Chico, California.
Chico, California. Congratulations, my friend. Oh, wow.
Hey.
Well, I wish there was some way. Don't you have, I know they now have recordable DVDs. Is there any way if we give out a DVD that you could bulk erase it and record something else over it?
No, you can't do that.
No.
You can't? Well, please enjoy Divine Secrets of the Ya-Ya Sisterhood.
Oh, what a film.
We might as well just send you a bag of excrement.
Ya-Ya!
Order Divine Secrets. Come on, Lisa, not in the headphones. Not in the headphones. Not in the headphones. Send me an instant message. What?
We need reads for these, and I can't send them saying...
Then I'll do some fake ones after the show.
Okay.
I'll do fake ones after the show.
7:05?
Before the show. Tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll do fake reads.
Okay, thanks.
But I'm not going to read this, because this is a junky girl movie. Yuck. Yeah. What a crappy prize this is. But wait, you've won the movie soundtrack and the Ya-Ya book bag. Ya-Ya. Oh,
great.
Too bad we can't give you some douche with this. the Ya-Ya Sisterhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, do those reads for me, okay?
Yeah, you got to. I was going to ask if I could be the winner.
Do the thing. Listen, my friend, you've won that. Now you're going to play for $1,000 with the secret sound. We're going to play you the sound. It's a sound.
Every
I'm not going to say it's common. It's just a sound. It's non-electrical. We'll play it for you now. Identify it within 15 seconds after Mike sings it. You win $1,000. Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
Dean Martin.
And we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is. Right there. You know what that is? That's the spark of electricity. Whenever Joe walks in the room with Mike... Just give it away right there. That's the love pouring out from Mike.
When the moon is dry like a baby's upon the moon.
Yeah. for $1,000, what's the sound?
Got no idea. How about toenail clippers?
Toenail clippers. Well, at least
we're sorry.
Something's never been guessed before. No, it's not right. Thanks, though, and don't forget that every guess
is a clue for you.
It's a clue for you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, all right, you're welcome. Hold on a second. Okay, so we're square with this.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. It's Elvis's birthday today.
Hey.
Elvis would have been 69 today. We got time to do this.
68, right?
68.
Elvis liked 69.
No, he didn't like 69.
No, remember?
Because Elvis didn't like fish.
Cotton panties.
That sound could mean only one thing. It's time for a bit that everybody hates except me and Mike.
Oh, boy.
So we do it with a different twist this time.
Hey.
I see the helicopter coming down now, and it's time for another edition of E to E.
Elvis, the helicopter is listening.
Now as the helicopter lands, both Elvis and Elvis will get out. Hey, man.
Hey, I'm 68.
So am I.
It's great to be here, E. How you doing, E?
I'm doing fine, E.
Man, oh, man, I tell you, I'm starving to death. You got any more of those Slim Fast shakes?
You know how we can celebrate our birthday?
By drinking some BM.
Let's call Sex Lines.
Sex Lines, man.
As Elvis do Elvis.
Come on, Jack.
Here we go.
Let's see how those phone numbers are doing.
900-258-2.
Only I could have seen how privileged she was to be speaking with Elvis Aaron Presley.
And Tommy AP.
Hi, baby.
And we, incidentally, we would call the Elvis. I'm breaking out of character now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We would call the Elvis Presley psychic hotline, except it's gone out of business.
Oh. Yeah, man, didn't make the kind of money they were looking for.
I'm waiting for your call.
EAP.
So
I'm waiting
hot,
too, honey.
Wet and horny. I could just explode.
Wet and horny.
Are you ready to have your every desire fulfilled?
Yeah. Yeah.
All your wildest fantasies come true?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, then hold on, baby.
Happy birthday, Elvis.
Happy birthday to him, a 68-year-old horn dog.
It's only $2.49 to $3.99 per minute, but you must be 18.
It's part of an Elvis birthday spectacular.
The hot time in
For
Florida.
For customer service, please call 1-800.
Hawaii, I can sure get sticky.
Man, oh, man.
Billing begins 3 seconds after the tone.
I wonder if you're lonesome tonight.
Each call has an access.
Oh, my Peter.
Cut loose. Be aware that your call may be monitored for quality purposes.
Okay, come on. How much is this?
How to get some good stuff for this?
Press 1 to go one-on-one with...
There you go.
Remember, to get back to the main menu, you can press star at any time.
Beautiful. All right, ma'am.
Here we go. I just got to see that you're on the air stuff.
Plus tax.
Welcome to Elvis the Elvis.
I'm happy. Come on, ma'am.
It pleases me greatly. Don and Mike, sure, you're on the air.
No.
It's like this one of them party lines, ma'am.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, ma'am.
Hello.
This is Elvis Presley.
And this is Elvis Presley.
We are in the chat room.
Hello.
Hello, ma'am.
EAP.
Where's our one-on-one action?
Here.
Hello.
That's a guy, man.
We're looking for hot one-on-one action.
I'm not into that type of thing. Hey, are you lonesome tonight?
Is there a hot girl there?
It's hard to talk up here.
Hey.
I think we've driven away everybody. I think she said it's hard to talk up here.
Yes. Very hard to talk.
I think that's what she said. It sounds like she might have said something else.
The world is a stage. Everybody has his part. Ma'am? Ma'am?
Press 1 to go one-on-one with a sexy girl. Only $3.99 per minute. Oh, to join the 24-hour orgy party line, please press 2.
We got to go one-on-one,
man. Only per minute.
I pressed 1.
Press 3 to speak live with other hot callers. Only $3.99 per minute.
Press 1.
Remember, to get back to the main menu, you can
group,
press
I don't like that group action.
No, do I. Although we cleaned out that room pretty fast.
You hear those phones being pressed.
Well, let's check out the room. I'll tell them they're on the air, but then we'll check out the room for a second.
Yeah.
Donna, Mike, you're on the air.
Hello, ma'am. Are you lonesome?
Are you there?
This is Elvis Presley.
This is Elvis Presley.
We are looking for some hot action.
Hello there.
That pleases me greatly.
What's your name, honey?
This is Carrie. Are there two of you?
Yes.
We are both Elvis Presley twins.
I'm Elvis.
And I am Elvis. We are both Elvis Presleys. We are 68 years old today.
You're 60 years?
68.
68, say.
68 years old today.
That's right, honey.
Say happy birthday, Elvis.
Hey. Happy birthday.
How are you, baby?
I'm 22.
Oh, that's great, man. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Would you please say hello, Elvis, and hello, Elvis.
Hello, Elvis. Hello, Elvis.
Man, excuse me for 1 second while I wash down these pharmaceuticals.
I hate fish. Are you wearing white cotton panties?
I'm not wearing any panties.
You're not wearing any panties? Well, that pleases me greatly.
Good.
Have you seen my monkey, Scatter?
I've not seen your monkey.
Elvis, I have to point out to you that years ago, on the grounds of Graceland, Scatter was found dead, frozen to a tree.
That is too bad, Elvis, for I wish to ask this young whore if she would play with our monkey.
Would you like to play with our monkey, Scatter?
I would play with your monkey, except for the fact that you both need to call on separate lines.
Why do we have to call on separate lines? But ma'am,
I can only talk to one.
We are conjoined.
We are conjoined. We are actually joined right now at the hip.
You're conjoined at the hip?
Yeah. We are. Well, it is impossible.
You're conjoined, Elvis.
Let me explain to you. It is impossible for us to use a separate phone line. We must speak on the same extension.
We're conjoined. Perhaps you've seen us on the Maury Povich show.
The two Elvises joined at the hip.
I have not seen this on the Maury Povich
show. No surgery can separate us.
Yeah, we have been on Maury. We have been on Montel. We have been on Sally.
And not to mention Ricky Lake.
And now we would like to...
every single one of those every single day.
We would like to be on you.
And you'd like to be on me.
Yes, we would. We would like to cover you with peanut butter. And then sprinkle bacon all over your nubile body.
Darling, why don't you put a glass out and I'll fill it with some prescription cough syrup.
Would that be tasty?
That would be delicious.
Would you drink codeine cough syrup with us right now?
You want me to drink codeine cough syrup?
Absolutely, and then perhaps we could have a dinner of mashed potatoes and peas and bacon mixed in a bowl that we could eat with our hands.
Yum!
How about it, honey?
Does that sound good to you,
that
Jack?
That sounds wonderful.
Have you ever been a maid?
I have.
I don't trust maids.
You don't trust maids?
Freaks carry your luggage up to your room, Jack.
Yeah, I tell you, I got sick in the hospital. Maids, Jack, spreading rumors.
Oh, no.
I'll tell you one thing. I've never been strung out on anything except for music.
Thank you very much.
Are you guys going to sing a song for me?
What would you like us to sing for you? What would you like?
Pick a song. Pick your favorite. But sing it to me. So it better.
And what is your name, dear whore? What is your name?
I'm Carrie.
Carrie.
Holy tender, love me.
We are conjoined twins. We know the exact same amount of lyrics.
What else would you like? We can speak as one together. I am Elvis.
And I'm Elvis Presley.
Please say again hello to both Elvises.
Hello, Elvis, and hello, Elvis.
How are you, sweetie, darling?
I am doing just one.
You know, we are conjoined. I will tell you something else, darling. We share one set of genitals between us.
Now, have you been sexually active before?
We have indeed. We are all powerful. We are powerful and all seeing. We are a soothsayer. We are both wearing swami hats right now.
What kind of hats?
Swami hats, you know, like carnage.
Turbans. As in the movie Harum Scarum.
We are wearing silver turbans with a gold jewel in the center.
Oh, really?
Yes, and we can see all and we can heal you.
We have four arms.
Yes.
Four breasts, two belly buttons, but alas, but one penis.
And we are wearing one eight-armed jumpsuit.
Ah, you get the clothes specially made. That's going to be expensive.
We do indeed. It is expensive, but it's all right because we are fabulous entertainers.
Well, we are living off the estate of Elvis Presley. We are, in fact, the love children of Vernon Presley.
What is your favorite Elvis Presley movie?
I have not seen any.
That's because they haven't been out in 45 years.
Well, you see, Elvis's dad, Vernon, once had unprotected sex.
Yes.
With a woman who is less than mentally capable, and we are the result. Some call us freaks. We think we are unique.
We are unique.
Care of you. Your mother took care of you, didn't she?
We are basically using all techniques into one.
Mm-hmm.
Our mother, Gladys, had nothing to do with us.
Yes, she abandoned us, but at one time she danced with some of her relatives, and they were all in their skirts fly up, exposing their cotton panties.
And at the same time, we both said, oh my Peter, but they didn't want us around. We've recently done PR. I don't know if you saw the fabulous movie with David Arquette called Eight-Legged Freaks.
No, I have not seen that yet.
We did some PR for that. Because
you got to get out. You got to get out more often, honey.
Because we,
I don't get out very often.
As I mentioned, we have between us eight arms.
Yes.
Four nipples, two belly buttons. But alas,
we are freaks in some circles, but we like to consider ourselves as
four
my. What's that, honey?
Wouldn't it be four arms and four legs?
No, we only have two legs.
Yeah, okay, you have two legs.
Two legs, one penis, but strangely,
eight arms.
Eight arms to hold he.
That's right. We could make you feel very warm. What?
Pardon me?
We have eight arms.
Eight arms, yes. We have a total of 80 fingers.
Four on my brother, four on me. Eight total arms in a jumpsuit.
We have a total of 80 fingers, yet we only have 10 toes.
But we have 80 rings.
Uh-huh.
And we have two pairs of sunglasses, because we have four eyes.
I'm sorry, we have 40 fingers.
40 fingers, that's true. No. No, you are wrong. Two hands on each arm.
10, 20, 30, 40.
Yes, but two hands on each arm, me. That's right. We have grown arms. We have grown hands.
So you have two hands on each arm, but only four arms?
We're not a freak.
Some call us freaks.
I was just confused. I was trying to figure out whether you had eight arms.
We're like an octopus, darling.
Yes, we each have four arms. I will amend my earlier statement. We each have four arms, making a total of eight arms.
And making it easy for us to walk like an Egyptian.
We also, strangely enough, have two separate buttocks.
A shepherd buttock?
Separate
butt cheeks.
Now, what is a shepherd buttock?
Separate.
My brother has one half, I have the other half.
Separate.
separate, meaning each of us has our own set of buttocks.
Separate, okay.
We have 18 kidneys, 6 lungs, 14 spleens, 2 livers, and we share a pancreas. Jack.
But alas, we have one penis, and that is what has led us down this dastardly road.
Yes.
To call women such as yourself to find fulfillment.
For some strange reason, women can hear.
Darling,
oh,
please don't use that offensive word.
Oh, which word?
Well, I wish that you would rather call it a thing.
A thing? Okay, who gets to play?
Who gets to... Well?
We alternate nights. On one night, he'll do it, and on the other nights, I'll do it.
Of course, with so many hands,
but
a lot of times
it's... from it.
It's crazy. What was that, darling?
But you both get pleasure from it.
Yes, we do.
Indeed, we do. It's
incredible pleasure.
However, it is difficult when one is in the mood and one is not, if you understand.
So does that mean you're only half hard? When one is in the mood and the other is not?
No, actually, we achieve full turgidity at all times. As a matter of fact, we are in that condition now.
Before we take Viagra.
Constantly with other vitamins and stimulants that we take.
We love Viagra along with our liquid Demerol, our
Vicodin,
codeine, our various farms.
And so many painkillers.
You want many painkillers. Honey, you try walking through life with a brother, a twin brother, who you're conjoined with, sharing a total of 8 arms and all the body parts my brother told you, and you would be on pain medication as well.
But, honey, no matter how we go in these phone lines or wherever we go in the world, we do have one thing that we continuously look for, and that indeed is freedom from constipation, something we have not been able to free ourselves from. We are severely constipated day in, day out, and we are searching for a cure, some sort of answer as to how we could free ourselves from this terrible dilemma of constipation.
When is the last time you had a nice BM, darling?
I would say yesterday sometime.
Yesterday sounds like you might be suffering from the same problem.
Do you know to exercise?
So I can suffer from that.
Do you know to exercise? I must bench press my twin.
Yeah.
It's hideous.
It's very, very frustrating. Yeah. Sometimes we are unable to even pass gas.
We must both work together.
You both got your own set of intestines, right?
18 kidneys, 6 lungs, 14 spleens, 2 livers, and a pancreas.
Right.
But somehow...
You should be making double the bowel movements because you have to...
No, we share an intestinal tract and a colon.
Our colon is very chalky due to our high intake of prescription drugs.
Some might say it's impacted.
Right. Have you gone to the doctors? They've given you all sorts of laxatives. None of it works?
No, nothing works.
We do not go to the doctor, honey. He comes to us.
Oh.
For us to drive is an entirely out-of-this-world experience. For it's a constant battle as to who's going to be driving.
It is much easier for us to row a boat.
Right. Right. That makes sense.
We actually have our entire crew team together. Just the two of us.
Yeah, it seems like you could row a boat, just the two of you, if you got 8 arms.
We have a full crew team.
We do. And we have a wonderful sweater. A wonderful sweater.
Mm-hmm.
2 crew neck sweaters with 8 arms on each side.
Let me ask you something, honey. Do you consider us to be freakish?
No, not at all. I think it's very interesting.
Are you turned on by us?
Am I turned on by it?
Yes.
I'm not turned on right now. I'm very intrigued right now.
You're not turned on. Well, that's the dilemma we face. It's the constipation, isn't it?
It could be.
That turns you off.
Is it the constipation or is it the fact we're conjoined?
Conjoined has nothing to do with it.
That has nothing to do with it.
Not at all.
Not even enemas work.
Enemas don't work either?
No. Please do not use that kind of language.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, would you give us an enema, please?
You want me to give you an enema?
Yes, we do.
Right now.
I would gladly give you an enema if I were there.
No, give us one.
Can you not do it verbally?
Please.
So we may fantasize?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are looking for.
Fleet enema?
Yeah.
Take us through the process, honey. What are you going to do for us?
Well, I've never given an enema
before. Well, why don't you make it up, darling?
Fill the bag with water, honey.
Just fill the little bag with water.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then you find where it goes, and you put the water in.
Yeah.
And now I wish you to take both your hands on that bag of water.
Mm-hmm.
And squeeze as if your life depended on it.
Oh, yeah.
Let me hear you squeeze, honey. Let me hear you.
I can't put.
Oh, dear. Oh. You've disappointed me greatly.
I'm sorry, Elvis.
I'm afraid my condition is worsening.
I apologize, Elvis.
Man, this is a disappointment, Jack.
You're a freak, honey.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that. You're a freak.
I'm a freak?
And it's my birthday today, and it's my brother's birthday, and you've given us no satisfaction.
All we wanted was a simple enema, and you weren't able to provide that kind of gratification for us.
I'm very sorry.
If only I would have known she could not have given us the verbal enema. We would not have wasted the $3.99 a minute.
I just am not quite sure how to give a verbal enema.
I'm afraid it's almost time for our helicopter to leave.
Yeah, before we go, would you please sing a happy birthday to Elvis and Elvis? It would make us happy.
I will gladly sing happy birthday to the two of you.
Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Please, go ahead. Sing now, to please
okay.
Sing, you common whore.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, baby.
Happy birthday to you.
That's doing it, honey.
Huh?
That's doing it for us.
Keep going, Jack.
Happy birthday, both of you Elvises. Happy birthday to you.
Do you hear that, honey?
That's wonderful. That's
Listen
our chopper.
That. That's our chopper coming.
Gotta go.
That will take us to our solid gold studs.
Time to hop into our eight-arm jumpsuit.
Have a good one.
You take care of yourself, sweetie.
Hey, you take care of business, honey.
Bye.
Are we the sexiest conjoined twins you've ever talked to?
Absolutely. I might have to call Maury and tell him to let me meet you.
All right, darling.
Elvis Presley, 8.
All right, y'all. Have a good one, Elvis.
This is Elvis saying goodbye, darling.
Hello.
Bye.
Bye, baby.
Come on, Eve.
Come on, Eve.
Leave that whore back where she belongs.
Take it, whore.
Good thing to give us a decent enema. Kill our 8 arms into this plane. I mean, this jumper.
Hey, let go of my ego.
Jesus, you let go of mine. That's not my ego. Hey, bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. There you go. Maybe the best addition we've ever had of Elvis to Elvis.
I never knew that he had 8 arms.
Neither did I.
Some sort of medieval creature.
She was not fazed by that.
She loved it. No, but we knocked her off with the enema talk.
Yeah. Imagine all those other guys. That was still a party line. All those guys that called to seriously, like, work their man.
I'm sure they were sorely disappointed.
They all got the hell off the phone as soon as we were there. We got that one on tape, right? That's a keeper, man.
Oh, my God.
That's a keeper. She sings happy birthday to us.
Hey.
And I wonder what George Foreman thinks of this. He sits in the next room. We'll find out with George Foreman.
All right.
He'll be in here in just a moment. Oh, Robbie, come on. That's a perfect
cute
segment, not cute up. God damn it, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Oh, my 8 arms itch.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The important thing here is a fucking bunch of motherfuckers we don't even know calling us assholes on the internet to teenagers and guys who can't even get laid. Putting a stop to that is the most important thing we could ever do.
The Don and Mike Show.
Here's the pulse, all right? And this is your finger. Far from the pulse, jam straight up your ass.
When you hear the dull creak of the casket, you know it's time for the Don and Mike Show.
Not only is George Foreman here.
Man, here he comes into the studio. This is an impressive man.
One of the other Georges is here, too. One of the, he's got like a million kids all named George Foreman. Here he is,
George
everybody.
Edward Foreman.
Here he is, the greatest, George Foreman, everybody.
Hi, George.
Howdy, George.
Good, good, good.
Nice to meet you.
If you're going
to
be a good boxer, a great boxer.
Yeah.
Name all your kids the same thing because of memory loss, you see.
George, of course, we will let you plug your book here in a second. For those of you already waiting to call about the sex quiz, George just says no. That's cool with us. No problem on that.
Right.
George.
When you're married, you don't know anything about sex anyway.
George, I want to ask you about, of course, about your cooking machine, about your book. But in your mind, when you were boxing, what's the best fight you ever fought?
Wow, I had a fight. My defining fight, if you ask me, was with Ron Lyles back in the 70s.
Yeah.
This guy hit me so hard, it didn't even hurt. I just looked at myself, how did I get down to the floor like that? And then I'd get up and he'd knock me down. No one had ever stood up to me like that. Even Ali, when he beat me,
right,
did the rope-a-dope where he covered up and I just got tired. But no one, he stood up to me and that hurt.
You know that Ali fight, and you got to hear this from a lot of people. I don't know how old I was. What year was that fight?
74. That's right.
Yep. 74, so I don't know how old I am. I'm 14, 15, 16. All I know is that it was one of those deals that everybody, it was bigger than the Super Bowl.
Oh, it was big.
It was one of those deals, one of those fights, mm-hmm, where even in school, the teachers stopped talking about teaching because everybody wanted to talk about the big Foreman Ali fight. So you fought them all, right? You fought Ali.
I was supposed to beat Muhammad Ali, too. I was the favorite.
Was the
to knock him out, no contest.
Was the 74 fight the one where he did the rope-a-dope and waited and waited and waited? I mean, and that's the recent movie that's out. Now, I got to tell you, 1994, when you got your title back, I, for whatever reason, I have I've forgotten the guy that you beat in that fight, but I went
Michael Moore.
This fight, and I will tell you, I love boxing. And
not the guy from Roger and Me.
Not Roger, that guy. I have watched a lot of fights. I don't think I have ever been in a room in my bed, watched the fight pay-per-view, and went absolutely nuts. Maybe it's because I'm as old as I am. Maybe it's because I remember watching George's career. But that had to, I think, you talk about your best fight, but getting your championship back in 1994 had to just completely revitalize everything about George Foreman, didn't it?
You know, I was, 45 years old?
45 years old? That was what's so great about it.
You're going to get hurt, grandpa.
Right? And nobody picked you to win that fight at all.
No one picked me at all. It was a surprise. But people forget that I was a puncher, and I was a big puncher for years. And if someone stands in front of me, I don't have to chase them. It's easy.
It was one punch that did it, too, and I remember that punch. And, I mean, I you could probably hear the collective screams around the country from older guys like me that were just going, yes!
Yeah.
He did it. I love that. It was one of the, I think it's really the best moment watching boxing that I've ever had, because I was a fan of George Foreman before that. But seeing that was just, I was actually, I've never been motivated. And I'm so glad we have you here. I'm delighted we have you as a guest. Because I have to tell you, that was the first time that I was ever motivated. I never did it. I never followed up to write a letter to a professional athlete and say, you gave me so much pleasure that night. I think it's the best boxing match I have ever seen. I enjoyed it more than anything in the whole wide world.
Who hit you harder? Muhammad Ali? Joe Frazier?
It was Ron Lyles. That one fight.
He was a tough guy, Ron Lyles. Yeah, very tough guy.
You know what? Muhammad Ali, he knocked me down. It didn't really hurt. But you could hear him in the opposite corner. I told you, I'm the greatest. That hurt.
Yeah.
Don't ever doubt me.
So now we know that you were a great champion, a great boxer. How did you, and the grill thing now, that's what most young people know you for. How did you get hooked up with this, with the grill?
It started off, I was doing commercials, pretty successful on my comeback in the 90s. And a friend approached me, he said, George, you're making products so famous, why don't you get your own product and make it famous? Spend some time with that. I said, how much money are you going to give me? They said, no, you can have the grill. We'll be your partners. It's your grill. You put your name on it to make certain. And I went out and I started to use it, of course. The grease would slant out away from the food, and I could digest without putting it into the ovens to broil them, the steaks and everything. And it started to work, and I told people about it, did an infomercial. Word of mouth started to sell those things, and at this point, we sold over 40 million of those George Foreman grills.
Jesus.
Wow. It's amazing.
Over 40 million, and then it just got to be something. Now I'm walking on the street in Memphis just a little while ago with the Mike Tyson, Lennox Lewis fight, and some teachers, Head Starts program, pointing me out to the kids. Look, little 5-6-year-old kids, it's George Foreman. He used to be an Olympic champion, heavyweight champ, and the kids scream, that's the cooking man.
You brought him.
They don't even know me as the boxer anymore.
What do you think of a guy like Mike Tyson? When I was growing up and you had you and you had Ali and you had Frazier and you had these guys that were just tough as nails, but none of the nutty crap like with Mike Tyson. What is your take on Mike Tyson?
Boy, now that's someone from another planet. He used to say he was the best fighter on the planet. I said, he's the best from another planet. I've never seen anything like it. He actually did. To get out and bite someone, I mean, how do you cross that line and then get back? Originally, though, when he was young, about 19 or 20, a phenomenon. The best fighter I've ever seen.
In his prime? He was the greatest?
He would. If he had continued for another 4 years like he had done, in the 90s, on into the middle 90s, I would have called him one of the greatest of all time.
You're kind of an example of somebody who's had their athletic career. Of course, you got the title back at 45, but then you go on to have this, so much. I mean, the commentary that you do on boxing, the grill,
HBO,
and they, I know they have Q ratings for celebrities. You probably have to have one of the highest Q ratings in the country. was there a point in your life that turned you around where you said, "Hey, I've got to make a transition here. I've got to go on for phase two of my life." I mean, because you know we see you everywhere. You're the most recognizable, one of the most recognizable boxers in the world. And was there a point where you said, "Hey, I got to make this switch now. I've got to think about life after boxing."
Yep. Well, you know, I had this experience in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Young fight I lost, and I had experience, had a vision. I was dead and alive again in a split second.
Mm-hmm.
And you're fighting for your life. You get a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
You really want to live this time, not exist and try to be some crazy guy that you made up.
Right.
And you go home and you hug your kids, you hug your family, and you say, you know, look, I'm going to be a better person. I got to be a better person because life is too short.
Mm-hmm.
That changed me.
I'm looking in your book here, and we'll plug this here, George Foreman's Guide to Life. Look at this picture. This is after you lost Ali in 74.
Look at that eye.
You look, George, you look now so different. The George Foreman that most people know now from the grill and from your books. You look nothing like this man. I mean, you got the afro going, you got the mustache going, you got the Huggy Bear hat on in this picture.
The 70s.
Yeah.
The 70s, right.
Transformation.
Right past the twisting days.
Mm-hmm. Pretty incredible, George. Okay, so your book is George Foreman's Guide to Life.
That's right. And try to get some information. My kids, I'd always give them a story and tell them about being better people. And they would always say, I wish my friend's parents could hear you, Dad. And mm-hmm. So it kept for years. This book was in the making. I wanted to make it short so you could read it. You know, I've been reading War and Peace for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
so I needed a book that people could just read and get done with it and then go back if you need reference.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't have a good ending, War and Peace. yours does. See, what I've done is, while we've been talking, I've read the first page and the last page.
You do that with a lot of books.
I do that with books,
yep.
And I can tell you it's good. And for a guy like me, nice big print and lots of pictures.
Absolutely.
So it's 124 pages, but really it's probably not even that many.
I was out in Las Vegas for the De La Hoya-Vargas fight.
That was a good fight.
And I saw you twice, actually, because you were walking around. And that's it. It's got to be, do you get any downtime? Do you get a chance to relax? Because seeing you out there, I mean, you get mobbed when you're out there at those fights.
You make a lot of friends.
You make a lot of friends.
You want to make certain you're nice to all your friends. I got a second time around. You know, I was so mean after this experience and so cruel that for 10 years I didn't box. I thought you had to be rich and famous so people could be nice to you.
Right.
And after 3 years, no one knew who I was. I cut the mustache, didn't have hair, cut all my hair off.
Right.
I was 315 pounds. But people were kind to me. They'd give me a booster, and I'd try to pay them. They'd, no, big one, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the best piece of the meat. You need it, boy. Even stewardess would invite me from a coach up into first class. They said, we can't give you a meal, but that seat's too small. I didn't know people were that kind to you. I thought you had to be rich and famous.
Right.
You get a second chance, you return it.
And looking at you now, hard to believe that you're so easygoing. You, right now, even looking at you, so friendly. Yet when you boxed, you had to be such a mean son of a bitch.
And that leads me to a question I want to ask. I don't think I've ever asked a boxer.
I had to cure myself. I was teaching the kids in my youth center. Look, get the chip off your shoulder. You don't have to be mad.
Right.
Get the killer instinct.
Right.
And I learned how to box again. So the second time around, there was never a punch in anger.
How did you do it, though? How do you do it when you, because when you got the title back, you were already George Foreman. You know, the lovable George Foreman that we see on television. When you go into the ring, as Don was mentioning before, what do you do? How do you get that? Because, I mean, you got to go in there, especially on the heavyweight level, you got to go in there. I mean, you're trying to kill the guy. I mean, you really have to go in there with that attitude. How do you get yourself psyched up into that situation?
Well, you train. You got to train a lot. You got to train hard. But I said to myself earlier, that there's never a punch in anger.
Mm-hmm.
I think that boxing is the granddaddy of all sports. You don't need all that killer instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you got to convince a guy to come into your trap, which you walk into my parlor, said the spider to the fly. I'm not going to hurt you. You pull tricks, but there's never any anger there.
Right.
And you go out there and you don't say to yourself, look, for a half hour, I'm going to be a mean guy. Then the bell is going to ring and I'm going to go home and be a nice guy again. You can't do that.
Right.
You've got to be one guy totally. And you just look at it as a sport. A jab, right hand.
It's a strategy.
Strategy.
Put too much emotion into it, you're not going to be able to concentrate.
And you can't just drop that stuff and go home and be a nice guy.
But even having said that,
having babies and kissing my children and going to PTA meetings, you know.
But when you changed your attitude, when you were in the ring, when you're coming back the last time, if you were fighting a guy and he popped you and it hurt, Just for a second. Wouldn't you get mad?
No, no. You get dizzy most of the time. Some of these guys, especially the heavyweights, they'd hit you. And there have been many times you had to really carry on some acting because you're just looking out there at five different guys.
Really?
And
that
you're
bad.
Trying to figure out which one should you hit.
Right.
You don't get angry. You get smart. You say, if I hit that last one on the end and he's not, this guy's going to get me.
You know,
so you think. It's all about thinking.
For anybody that hasn't been to a heavyweight fight, when you get down close, and I've had the privilege of being close to a heavyweight fight, the sound of the blows, you can't believe it, you know. I suppose you do have to fake it, don't you? When you're barely able to stand up, but you got to make the guy think, I got it all together.
And they hit you, and sometimes you're staggering, and you don't know where you are, but you got to act. I remember in the Olympics especially, I was fighting a guy from Italy, a left-hander. Hit me with a straight left hand, right in the face. And I heard a siren go off. And the siren was saying, come to me, come to me. And I started screaming, no, no, no. And the boxer got panicky. He thought I'd gone crazy, and he stopped hitting me. I hit him and won the boxing match.
That's
for you. New business.
George, you got a couple of seconds for calls?
Sure.
So we got, you know, we're on around the country, and everybody wants to talk to you. Here's James in California, Sacramento. James.
Sacramento. Hey, Dad, man.
Hey, listen, don't embarrass us now, okay?
Now, come on now. Be on your best ground. Behavior.
Hello.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Sacramento, that's my stomping ground.
Hey, George.
Uh-huh.
So, when you knock down a George Frazier six times in two rounds?
Big Joe Smoking Joe.
I'll never forget that fight. What kind of combination did you use to knock him out like that and so easy?
You know what it was? I was so afraid. I was afraid of Joe Frazier. You're in a boxing.
Really?
You're supposed to get out there and stare these guys down.
Right.
And if a guy drops his head, that means he's afraid. You got him.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But with Joe Frazier, I was staring him down. I kept thinking, don't drop your head. He's going to see my knees shaking. I was afraid of smoking.
Okay.
Joe Frazier was so tough that if you hit him, he liked it. And if you missed him, he'd get all upset about it. So I didn't know what to do. When I knocked him down, I just went crazy. I don't know what combination.
You know, we had Joe Frazier on the show a while back, a couple of years ago. And, well, what do you make of the relationship between Frazier and Ali? What is all that about? I mean, you hear different things that they say, and it gets hot, it gets cold. I mean, what's with the...
He didn't have great stuff to say about Ali that day he was on our show.
Yeah. What's your take on that? I'm sure you've been asked about that before.
I'll tell you about it. Mohammed started early on. Joe Frazier had his kids going to school. He was a family man. And Muhammad Ali started calling them Uncle Tom.
Right.
You Uncle Tom. Ooh. All over the country. So Joe Frazier told me sincerely, he said, look, I hated him because every morning I'd go out just before day and running, you put the hood over your head, you know.
Right.
He said, I didn't want my wife thinking I was peeping in people's windows.
Oh, really? That's what he thought.
He thought of Uncle Tom was a peeping Tom.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
This is a true story. He didn't know you can talk over a guy's head. So for years.
So that's what he thought.
He was ashamed. He said, my kids were.
Oh, my God. Oh, my
kids
God.
Would come home. He said, my kids were coming home looking at me funny.
Wow.
Hello,
he had no idea what an Uncle Tom was.
Wow. That's amazing.
Don and Mike, you're on the air with George Foreman. Hello.
Hey, guys. It's a real honor to talk to you, George. How you doing? Let me ask you this. If part of the title, getting the title again, would have meant having to fight Tyson, would have you fought Mike Tyson?
Oh, that was my aim, as a matter of fact, when I re-entered the ring. And back in 1987, he had his reign of terror.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I had to punch, and he had the style just tailor-made for the George Foreman jab and uppercuts. So I really went back into the ring thinking I was going to fight him for the title, but it never happened.
So
I would have been real concerned because of, you know, just your age. I mean, like, you know, one good shot really could have hurt you.
And two would have killed me.
Hello, Don and Mike. Victor, you're on the air with George Foreman.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. Hey, George. How you doing?
Just fine, thank you.
I'm running down the road here in my tractor trailer, so a little bit of noise here. I just wanted to say I'm a big fan of yours, and I think you've got one excellent personality, and you've got one hell of a sense of humor. I saw you on Saturday Night Live, and I just laughed my tail off when I watched that episode.
Those guys are crazy, huh?
They were crazy. That was one of the funniest episodes I've ever seen. Do you have any idea if you're going to do something like that again?
I like doing comedy shows. You know, I went on to have my own television show called George.
Right. George, good name for it.
I have good ratings and everything, but, you know, the show got canceled. And I went away thinking, wow, I was on television. Everybody saying, but the rest of the cast said, but we're losing our jobs. I said, but I was on television. My daughter even told me it was all supposed to be funny, huh?
I saw you on Letterman last week.
Yeah, I had a ball.
And Michael Caine was talking about the grill, and he was calling it a stove.
The George Foreman stove.
What is Letterman? Does Letterman talk to you during the commercials when you're on his show?
Nice guy. For the first time, I've gone on the show a lot. And I hadn't had much communication with him. He was kind of distant.
Right.
But this time, you didn't want to leave him. He was having that much fun.
I wonder if that heart attack thing, when he had the heart attack scare, I wonder if that had anything to do with it.
I think that all those years, he was really in pain and just hard to get along because he was suffering.
Right.
Now, I think he's free of pain and he's a better person because nothing hurts anymore.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, what you had, that moment where you have a new lease on life. He certainly had that. I think he probably changed a little.
He was a wonderful guy. Mm-hmm. Very nice man this time.
Now, you have been, if I'm not mistaken, you're like in the Larry King world of marriages. You're on, this is the fifth?
I've been married, this is number five.
And this is the one, this is the good one.
I met the love of my life. We're getting ready to have 20 years together.
There you go.
By this time, I don't know what being single is all about. Mm-hmm. And I made a lot of mistakes trying to get married and didn't know what to do. You bring so much to the table.
I can't relate to that at all, George.
I work hard. And, look, I bought you this and I bought you this. And why don't you say, and you know, why aren't you better? And people don't want you to buy them things. If you're going to get married, you really got to give up yourself. And I didn't know how to do that.
Your kids are all named George.
All of the boys, yeah.
And you had all these boys with the different moms.
No.
Oh, no, really?
Most of them all by one lady.
Oh, good. Even better. Then the question is, you get asked this a lot, so indulge me for a second. When they're all together when they were little, when you wanted one of them in particular, how would you call the one you wanted? Let's say you had one that was 4 and one that was 7, one that was 9. You wanted the 7-year-old.
Yeah, you have nicknames or what?
How do you get him to come down?
You called them all, because when I was a young boy, my mother, there were 7 of us. And she'd be so upset with me, and she'd call all of the kids' names. By the time she'd get to my name, I was out the door. I said, this will never happen to me. I said, George! And they come, and I'll sort it out once they get there.
Robert Earl, you know who I'm talking about.
You could ease on out the door. Your name is not called.
So you have your son with you today, right?
Yeah, I have one. Yeah, George. He's George 3.
Would you mind? Could we get George 3 here for a second?
Yeah. Now, do any of your sons express an interest in going into the fight game at all?
Early on, they try boxing, they hit the punching bag, and they have those. Then they start doing things like going to schools, colleges.
Mm-hmm.
They're messing up the whole deal.
Let me see George. Hi, George.
How you doing?
Hey, here's George 3. Look at him. Hey, come on over.
All right, let's say, hi, George. I'm Mike. This is Don. Nice to meet you.
George 3. Now, George 3, how did you get along with George 2, George 1, George 4, George 5, George 6, George 7? There's 8 of them, right?
No, there's 2 daughters, but there are 6 of us, Georges.
So there's 6 Georges, and so you're the middle of the pack. You would be the middle child, right?
And you answered the question I just asked your dad. When you were all growing up, when there was all of you Georges together, if your dad wanted you, how would he get you? I mean, there had to be more than just, say, George, and you all came.
Did you all come together? Or, you know?
Actually, we all have nicknames.
Ah, okay. Would you care to share your nickname with us, or is that private?
My nickname is Monk.
Monk?
Yes, because his nickname is Monkey.
You're telling everything, boy.
Secret out.
What about, could you tell a nickname for George 1?
George 1, we call him Little George.
Little George. George 2?
That's me.
Okay.
Well, George, actually, 3. George, other than me, I'm number 1. Then there's George Jr.
Oh, I got you. George,
that's
Jr.
He's number 2, and this is number 3.
How about George 4?
Big Wheel.
George 5?
Red.
And George 6?
We call him Joe.
Joe. Outstanding answer.
But you know, you the nicknames get in my way, so I call them all George now because I can't remember all those names. I can remember is how many fingers can you see? Round 3.
Oh my God. Round 3. George and Monk. George and George 3. Thank you for coming in. George's book is George Foreman's Guide to Life: How to Get Up Off the Canvas When Life Knocks You Down. It's everywhere, right? Amazon.com. And
we're going to be signing books here somewhere.
We've been doing this show for almost 20 years. We've had a lot of people on this show, George. I will tell you, this is, for me, you know, I'm like a little kid. This is a real thrill for me because I've been such a big fan of yours. And I think it's 1994, right? When you got it back, that was one of the best moments in sports for me.
Tell me, how did you like the Vargas De La Hoya fight?
I enjoyed that fight. That was a very, you know, I, you know, exciting, De La Hoya. I mean, people keep counting him out, and he, you know, I mean, it's you know, it's he's he, I really I enjoy those fights.
A kid can fight like that. That's rare.
You know, it's amazing that he doesn't get. I mean, he never has a mark on him.
Still looks nice.
It's amazing. It really is. Really amazing.
Tomorrow, George. Thursday tomorrow, if you live in the D.C. Metro, George will be at the Walmart in Fairfax, in Fair Lakes, from noon till 1. That's tomorrow. And for information, go to georgeforeman.com.
Well, we looked at the tax returns, folks. He doesn't need to be there, okay? He doesn't need to be there.
Come out there and see George. Pleasure to meet you, George.
Thank you so much, George.
Pleasure to meet you, George 3.
George 3, thank you very much. Nice to meet you. Thank you, George.
Pleasure. They're great. George Foreman, everybody.
That's a thrill, man.
One of the greatest.
Nice. Absolutely.
No kidding. Pleasure, George.
And a hero to plus 40 people everywhere.
Yep. Amen.
Absolutely.
Nice grill.
Very cool. We all have the grill, too. You have the grill?
I don't yet.
Oh, but Don, you have the grill, right?
Excellent gift.
You have the grill?
Of course.
I have the grill. Didn't you get me the grill, Rob?
I got you the grill in the same year I got my father-in-law.
No, nobody got me a grill.
Nobody got Buzz a grill.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, there's the great George Foreman.
Yeah, I tend to go, I went a little gaga there, but I mean, that's one of mine, guys.
Don't worry about it.
That's one of my guys.
Well, here's the book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got the book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Yeah, man, that's then.
I'm going to go get him to sign it, get my picture taken. I'm just going to be like a fan, like a stalker fan.
It's like a 2 b.m. book. look out in that, baby.
Oh, you read faster than I do.
Okay, we got to break. It's Elvis's birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. I wanted to ask George Foreman if you ever met Elvis.
I'm sure he did.
Hey, Rob?
Yeah.
Go ask him if you ever met Elvis.
Yeah, we got to know.
Go ask him that.
Every now and then I kick your ass and stomp on you. And put some kind of pain, inflict some kind of pain on you, because you deserve to feel the pain, somewhat of the pain that I feel.
Different guy.
If I wish one of your guys had children, if I could kick them in their head or stomp on their testicles, well, you could feel my pain, because that's the pain I have.
I believe there's a different philosophy there.
Just a little.
Didn't have a chance to play that save for George 1.
Wow.
Right. I have you too. You love me, faggot.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, yeah. We could have pulled them all out.
Right now, Rob is like somewhere in the hallway going, oh, Mr. Foreman? Mr. Foreman?
You shouldn't be afraid. George is very friendly.
It's taking him a long time to get this answer.
He is friendly.
He sure is.
Mr. Foreman. You know, but the heavyweight champions, when they come in here, heavyweight champions, that's a different kind of celebrity. That you see people in this building just gravitate to
this
them.
This is writing we need to break. I understand we need to break, but we need the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, please. Listen to the show. Here we go. Rob Spivak, as soon as we get the answer, we'll break. And the answer is?
First of all, I want to let you all know that, of course, he's in with Alan Line 1. Oh. Isn't that a pleasure?
Well, Alan's got the giant Ali picture on his wall.
Yeah, Alan's a big fight fan.
They're throwing darts at it. He's never had the pleasure of meeting Elvis Presley.
All right.
Thank you. Now we know.
And we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
By 1977, the sex symbol was overweight, his body failing him. Increasingly isolated and paranoid, Elvis retreated behind the walls of Graceland. He began pushing away even those who were closest to him. And the few who remained in his inner circle say they were powerless to help.
We even got down one night and filled his pills with sugar to make sure that we got that he wouldn't get them.
His body was just no longer going with him. I mean, he had problems. He had a twisted colon. He had a liver disease.
And according to his former pals, Elvis wasn't even bathing regularly, relying on pills that people often take for medical reasons to reduce body odor.
And he would take those. He thought those worked perfect, you know. Rather take a bath, he could take two of those, you know, sponge off real quick.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Hey, hold on, fellas. Hold it, fellas. I don't move. Let's get real, real going.
It's time to roll back the stone and let the comedy rise again. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, it might be just January 8th to you, but it's Elvis' birthday to us.
It's his birthday. Not the day where he passed, but the day where he came into this wonderful world.
And we don't make a big celebration like we do on his death day.
Well, that's when we really pay tribute to the king.
In our own way.
In our own special way.
And we'll have some of that coming up.
You never get it right. We don't celebrate it. We observe it.
We observe it.
There you go.
We observe it.
Rob, I almost thought you had the Elvis hand gestures when you were coming
up. Yeah, well, none of us are getting any younger, Mike.
anyway. We're going to get some of your favorite Elvis stories on today's show, I promise. This is a guy who we've wanted to have on the show for many years.
Yeah.
And every time we tried to call him...
Just about as much as George Foreman.
Contact him. We were never able to get through.
From the sublime to the ridiculous.
God knows that on every one of our Elvis shows, we've ended up playing some of his songs. Alert?
Alert Pilarm.
He is Sweden's number one Elvis impersonator, and he's retiring in his prime.
Well, it's 1 for the morning, 2 for the dawn, 3 to get 3, nine, go, can't go, but don't you.
Now, I don't know if we're going to be able to ask him this, but I would just be curious as to... The words do not seem to match the beat of the music. I'm curious about that.
It sounds like he's trying.
Yeah, and this is, ladies and gentlemen, this is his recording. This is his album.
Rob, hold on. I got to use 444 there. So he's awful. And,
not the worst I've ever heard.
Yeah. We're going to call him now. It's Sweden. Is it tomorrow yet?
No, it's 11, a quarter after 11.
So he might be a little sleepy.
And Rob is actually pre-called. So this was finally, I know for you it was a huge deal to meet George Foreman.
It was indeed a big thrill for me.
For me it will be an equally big thrill to finally speak to Alert Pilarm.
I understand.
The world's number one, or Mama. Sweden's number one Elvis impersonator.
Yes. Mama puts the pies out to coo.
Alert. Even though it starts with an E, it's like you pronounce it with an A.
Right.
Like Ava.
Hello?
La. Alert!
Yes?
Yeah. Hello, this is the Don Show. Did we wake you, sir?
Yes.
Hi, Alert. Sorry. We're calling from the American radio show, and we're big fans of yours.
Yes.
We have...
How are you, sir?
Did you know we were going to call you?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you.
You're good. How is the Elvis impersonating going?
Yes, take it easy.
Pardon me?
Come again?
What did I say? I take it easy.
You're taking it easy?
Yes.
Now, you're retiring in your prime as a Swedish Elvis. Why is that, sir?
Yes, sing Elvis songs. I don't know why they say me or Swedish Elvis.
What?
But I sing my most.
What is your favorite Elvis song, Alert?
This interview is quite a letdown for me.
I'm sorry.
I can't stop loving you.
Could we get a little of that over the phone?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, go.
I'll give you a hint. The first word is wise.
What do you say?
Could you?
We would like you to sing.
No.
Oh, no.
Temperamental, Mike.
Alert?
Yes?
How old are you?
50.
50, and you're no longer going to be performing as Elvis?
I don't know.
Well, now, we received a press release saying that you are going to retire, and you are going to return to your day job as a janitor.
Yes.
Why are you retiring?
Because it's heavy to sing much.
What?
It's dangerous to sing much songs.
You don't want to sing anymore?
Sometimes.
Could you sing for us right now, please?
No.
Please?
Do you know today is Elvis's birthday?
Yes. Elvis sing, I can't stop loving you.
Okay, sing that for us.
Please?
No, Elvis.
Or you'll just sing it as yourself?
No.
As Elvis.
Okay, Elvis sing. Go ahead, Alert.
There we go.
Oh, I don't sing.
He doesn't sing. He's retired.
You don't sing.
You don't sing.
How many jumpsuits do you own, Alert?
What do you say?
How many Elvis jumpsuits do you own?
About 8.
8. And when was the last time you performed as Elvis?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. I agree. That's good.
What is your favorite ABBA song?
Probably
I like Dancing Queen.
I think it's...
my God. My father-in-law was more coherent on his last day. I swear to God.
Alert?
Yeah?
Are you on any prescription narcotics?
What did I say?
Are you taking drugs?
No.
No medicine?
No.
How are you feeling?
Very well, thank you.
Very well?
Yes.
Have you been drinking?
No, I don't drink.
What's the weather like in Sweden right now?
It's winter now. It's very warm.
Very warm?
Yes, 2 degrees.
How many years have you been an Elvis impersonator?
11.
Alerts?
Yes.
Has Mama put the pies out to cool?
Yes.
Very good.
Hey, Alerts?
Yes.
Would you take a chance on me?
Chance on me.
If you change your mind, I'm the first in line. Take a chance on me, honey.
Group ABBA.
I like woman, not the man.
Alert?
Hey, Alert?
Are you married?
No.
Alert? You can dance. You can dance.
Yes.
Having the time of your life.
This is DJ.
Yes,
see that girl.
Into ABBA. Group ABBA.
Feel the beat. Something the Dancing Queen. I don't know all the words.
I can't sing ABBA.
Can't sing ABBA.
Do you enjoy Swedish Fish?
Yes.
I'm going to play one of your songs now. Can you tell me, I'm going to play you the song and tell me your feelings when you hear it. Here he is, everybody. Sweden's number one Elvis impersonator. This is the classic Elvis song, Love Me Tender. Alert Pilar.
Love me tender.
Good.
You have made my life complete, and I love you so.
Here comes the tough part.
Right here. Here we go.
Love me tender, love me true.
Wow, you're good.
My dreams fulfilled.
That's excellent.
This was Elvis' favorite songs too.
There was something in the air that night. The moon was so bright, Fernando.
Yes. Elvis is 68 years now.
Yes, 68 years today he would have been.
Waterloo.
All right, dude. Listen.
I'm real sorry you're retiring, Ehlert.
You've broken my heart, old man. I'll tell you that. What a bunch of useless hype this has been.
No. I think what you need to do is talk him out of retiring.
Taylor, you shouldn't retire.
Oh no.
Yes, no retire.
No, I think you'd make an excellent janitor. Be a janitor. Pick up all other people's trash.
Now you're disappointed. We can turn this around. I know you're very disappointed.
I am more than disappointed.
Do you really want to see him up to his elbows in BM?
Yes, I do.
Elvis sing a song for greatest mother and Priscilla Lisbon.
Can you pick up your energy level just a little bit, please?
Jesus Christ.
No, I don't think.
Okay,
he doesn't.
No, why should you think?
I'm tired. I won't sleep now.
Yeah,
you're going
sleep.
To sleep now.
All right. So have a nice long sleep.
Eternal sleep.
The eternal sleep of the damned.
Yep. Good night.
Right.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Have a nice dirt sandwich.
Thank you.
You big love.
That was great.
Baby, let me be. You love it.
What a freaking letdown.
Thank Christ we set
that up. You know what,
though,
for my money, when you were at the very beginning of that interview, when you couldn't even get out of the box, because he sounded so funny, that's my favorite part.
That was really like doing an interview with Elvis in August of 77.
I'd like to get that on a loop and listen to the way when he was in, hello.
Was he any different when you called him earlier today to set it up?
He was a little brighter, but keep in mind, it's late night over there.
I have a question for both of you.
But it's only 11 o'clock, Robbie.
Where is it written that he is Sweden's number one Elvis impersonator? On his album?
Liner notes of his album.
On his CD.
And according to One of the, I got it in here somewhere in our Elvis pack, according to some Elvis fan group, he's, well, and it says it right here, Swedish Elvis.
Right.
Number one Elvis impersonator.
Swedish Elvis, Jesus.
But it's time for him to step down.
I got to go to sleep. It's very, very cold.
I'm very tired.
I'm very tired. I want to go.
And he was big on, no, no.
Yeah. Are you married? No, I haven't seen a vagina in years.
Vagina.
Can you sing no?
No,
no.
I don't wish to.
No, hello, no. Don and Mike.
Nine.
Hello.
Same
hello.
Thing.
Hello, you're there? Are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
Mike.
Yeah, hi.
How's your show?
Thanks.
Hey, I agree with you, Don. That guy sucked big, fat balls, man. That was probably one of the worst interviews I've ever heard.
I think you're being very, very hard on him.
Yeah, hello. Don and Mike show.
How you doing?
Fine.
I was just wondering if that was a supposed to be an Elvis impersonator or an Ozzy impersonator.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, you people are saving this for us.
Absolutely.
Today. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, this is Tim from Las Vegas.
Hello, Tim.
Hey, when you were reciting ABBA lyrics to him, I swear at one point he said, no, 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 I like women. Like she's coming on to him or something.
I like women.
That's what I said. If you change your mind, I'm the first in line.
Yeah, I think you should replay that.
Honey, I'm still that's free. Great. Take a chance on me.
He's very, very gay.
That was wonderful.
Well, listen, that was awful. That was awful. And let me apologize not only to our listeners, but to George and to Monk.
Right.
We're in their limo right now, and they went to Walmart.
Yeah.
God.
It's really a shame that we had to follow up the George Foreman segment with that.
The show is always much better than that. God, that guy sucked ass.
There goes my only
poster. Well, I'll always have his music.
Hey, and you know, when he's producing this kind of stuff, no wonder he has to retire. You can only give so much.
Maybe now he'll come out with a grill.
He's only 50. He's only 50.
He's got so much more to give.
You know what? I'm sorry. I gotta call him back.
He's very, very sleepy.
I'm very, very tired.
I'm gonna call him back. I'm gonna tell him how awful he was.
Don, am I calling Sweden now?
I just have to tell him how bad he sucked. That was... what is the name of this town?
Warren Coldsvik.
Warren Coldsvik.
Where it's winter.
God.
Nah, summer, right?
No, it's winter.
It was like talking to Zsa Zsa Gabor.
It's not in Australia, Rob.
La, 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 la.
Sweden.
La, 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 la.
She's a little sharper, I think.
Hello?
Yeah, Elard, it's Don and Mike again. We're on the air.
Yeah?
Dude, are you... I mean... You blow! God, that was such a bad interview, man.
We really wish you'd been a little better.
No, I mean, stop the ring telephone now. Goodbye.
A-hole?
Well, we certainly were able to communicate that to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. Not a break.
Thanks for using my catchphrase.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Why ever did it? Honey, who am I talking to?
Don't get hurt!
Why is it you love me? I had no cause to doubt you. But as I walk the river, as I go on hearing your lies, and you go on living without
you. You stay good or something.
And the stage is bare, and I'm standing there without any hair. Enough.
You're a goddamn genius.
They have no steel tail. They have no cat feet. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, it's Elvis' birthday. We are going to continue that right now. Let me tell you, on tomorrow's show, one of the things we have... Remember in the very beginning of today's episode, reading the facts we got from the guy in Baltimore who wanted a gay lover to break in on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, and he gave the specifications and the ethnicity of the type of individuals that he wanted to flower.
Yeah, he called us back.
He did.
Yeah, so he'll be on the show tomorrow.
Very good.
Plus tomorrow we're going to go to the internet for the, I got to make sure I say this the right way, a J.O. Club.
Really?
On the internet. And also, a pro clown porn site and an anti clown porn site.
Mm. So, whether you like your porn with or without clowns, we'll have something for you.
Yeah, and tomorrow, the debut of The Satan Show.
How do you line up on that, incidentally?
I'm pro clown porn.
I'm anti clown. I guess that'll work out rather well.
Great.
I actually, you ever see one with a clown in it?
I have, but I guess I'm anti.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm pro. If other people want clowns in their porn, it's okay with me.
Live and let live. It's just not my cup of tea. I saw it one time, and the guy had the mask on, and it really grossed me out.
Yeah. Clowns need love, too.
Also tomorrow is American...
Yeah, I think so.
The debut, what, Robbie?
Didn't we see a clown porn in here that had something to do with a pie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nasty.
Yeah.
Also tomorrow, the debut of The Satan Show.
Nasty.
The Satan Show.
Good Friday.
You know, when I turn the machine on in a Satan voice, and I'll answer all your questions, take phone calls.
Wonderful.
Very
good. Ask Satan. Oh, Elvis stuff right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Okay, my friend.
Quick comment on the number one impersonator of Elvis in Sweden.
Yeah.
If he's number one, how bad do you think number two is?
Well, as you know, number two can be good and bad.
Hello, Todd and Mike Show.
Hey, I think the only thing that Elvis impersonator would probably be good at impersonating would be Elvis dying on the can.
There's a lot of hostility for the Elvis impersonator from Sweden.
I'm with you. He sucked. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, Don and Mike, it's George. I'm from Burlington, Vermont. Big fan.
Thanks, George.
Hey, you guys were doing hysterical stuff when you were doing the ABBA stuff, but I don't think you caught it when you said, take a chance on me, and he said, sorry, I'm into girls, not guys. You missed that, or did you pick that up?
No, I didn't catch it.
Yeah, Robin mentioned that.
Yeah. Everything was funny. I almost drove off the road. It was so funny.
Everything with him was that same, I don't say.
I'm very, very tired. I need to go to bed.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, Don and Mike, congratulations on the Elon Pilar interview there. That was great. That was wonderful.
Thank you. Thanks.
I'm expecting that the next break you have and there's the best of Don and Mike, that should be the lead off, right?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. What about the Elvis impersonator that does Nirvana? Is he available for an interview or is he...
We're saving him for the birthday show, my friend.
Oh, okay. I'll hang out and wait.
All right. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, I wanted to know if you'd ever, about clown porn, heard of Effo the Clown. I can't say the whole name, obviously, but...
Effo?
Yeah. Well, right. You can figure out the rest.
Like CKO?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, I saw it, and it had Bridget the Midget in it. It was actually pretty good. It wasn't bad. I don't like clown porn. I think it's pretty tasteless.
Well, so tomorrow, the whole debate will be debuted... On tomorrow's show.
I'm going to get all pumped up for that debate. Maybe I'll go all the way and like be the champion for the anti-clown porn people.
Don and Mike, hello.
Don, I just wanted to ask you if you'd ever actually run into Boardwalk Elvis in Ocean City.
Oh, my God. Yeah, of course. The guy follows me around, I swear to God.
Wow. When was the last time you saw him? You haven't talked about him.
On vacation.
I used to work at the dough roller on the boardwalk, and he'd stand outside on his head and play kazoo.
It's a nice gig. Congratulations on that.
He still follows you, like, into stores and stuff?
Yeah. Thank God we moved out.
He's still alive, is what I was asking.
Yeah, he rides his bicycle. He's like a homeless guy, although he's not homeless. I don't know.
Wearing better suits now, though, isn't he?
Never bathes and has a bicycle.
Cowboy hat.
A cowboy hat and a bicycle that has an Elvis license plate on the front of it. Guy's nuts. Homeless guy in Ocean City, Maryland. For some reason, he really is attracted to me, although I've heard he's that way with a lot of people down there in Delmarva.
You know, he's really been an institution down there. He should be in an institution, but does he have a home?
As a matter of fact, on vacation, well, I'm sure someone from Ocean City will call and tell us now. I heard the story about Boardwalk Elvis, that he like lives in a shack right on the Maryland-Delaware line. And the guy must be in incredible shape because in all weather, he rides his bike like 20 miles to get to this little shore stop, which is built into a mobile station.
Wow.
To buy like his banana or whatever it is that he eats every day.
Wow.
And I don't know if the guy's like part retard or what.
It's hard to tell.
Anyway. That's a different Elvis.
Yes.
Today's show is about the real Elvis.
You don't by any chance know how he feels about clown porn, do you?
No.
We'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah, good. We will.
Good.
No, I don't. God, everybody's calling about clown porn now. Hello, Don and Mike.
It's full clown porn's hella tight. I got a video. It's nice, man. I J-O to it.
Okay, well, it's...
I bet you do.
Save that for tomorrow, please. I just was mentioning that.
What would Willard say?
Tomorrow. Mike, happy birthday, Elvis. Contents of Elvis's stomach at the time of his death at Baptist Memorial Hospital in Memphis revealed traces of the following medication.
Here we go.
These drugs in Elvis's system in his stomach. Codeine, high concentration. Morphine, Quaaludes, Valium, Valmid, Placidol, Amitol, Nembutal, Demerol, and Sinutab.
I like the little over-the-counter one at the very end there.
Elvis, on Mercury, Elvis, at the time of his death, he would have weighed 97 pounds. On Venus, he would have weighed 232 pounds. On Jupiter, Elvis would have weighed 648 pounds. If Elvis lived on Pluto, he would have weighed only 13 pounds. But if Elvis lived on the sun at the time of his death, he would have weighed 7,140 pounds.
That's scary.
In the year 1975, Elvis took a total amphetamines, 75. Total count, 1,296.
Ooh, jeez.
In 1976, he took 1,891 sedatives.
Those are the ones we know about.
In 1977, the year he died, he only managed to get 910 in.
Well, he didn't live out the year.
Yeah. Let me see. Narcotics. In 1975, he took 2,372. In 1976, he took 4,996.
Oh, my God.
1977, a year, again, that's the asterisk year, 2019.
Heck, well, he didn't get, you know, to the end of the year. He probably would have worked his way up to 5,000.
That's like with Roger Maris in the 61 thing, the right. Asterisk.
The unfinished year.
And now... Elvis's bizarre eating habits.
Wonderful. I love hearing about Elvis eating.
This is the greatest Elvis story ever. Actually, it's two stories. Elvis's bizarre eating habits sent him to his death. And then the story about how he would eat flat on his back using his bare hands.
There you go.
All right, let's begin. Let me restart the music. And as we say, happy birthday, Elvis. Elvis was a food addict. In high school, in Hollywood, in Vegas, and in Graceland, Elvis lived for food. And in the end, his obsession with food helped send him to an early grave. Elvis spent the last days of his life in a nearly complete fast. He was desperate to lose weight for a tour. Between 12:30 and 1 o'clock in the morning of August 16th, Paulie Nicholson, cook, reported to Graceland for work. The cook, she relieved, told Pauline that Elvis had refused food all day. Pauline was concerned Elvis had hardly eaten for a week. She made a salad and started peeling potatoes. Though she felt Elvis wouldn't eat, she was worried and didn't know what else to do. Several minutes later, the phone rang in Graceland's kitchen. It was Mr. P, as Pauline called Elvis. Pauline, would you fix me some water, please? My bottles are empty. Sure, said Pauline. Elvis always liked to have two huge bottles of water in the refrigerator next to his bed. Pauline went up to Elvis's room to refill the bottles. She found Elvis lying in bed. She tiptoed around him to pick up one bottle next to his bed and the other in his bathroom. As Elvis looked on from the bed, she carried the empty bottles to the ice maker in Lisa Marie's room. She refilled the bottles and headed downstairs. Elvis had his thirst quenched and thought about his next move. He was discouraged. After days of dieting, still weighed 285 pounds. But he called the kitchen again, sometime between 2 and 4 a.m., to break his fast. He requested his favorite snack, ice cream and cookies. This snack typically consisted of at least 8 scoops of ice cream and 2 dozen cookies. On this night, however, he told Pauline... not to serve as much as usual. Just a small amount. And don't give me as many cookies. Pauline dished up only 4 scoops of ice cream and only 8 cookies.
Ah.
She served the ice cream in a cereal bowl accompanied by cookies on a bread plate. After eating, energy surge through his body.
Sure.
Oh, God. He was revitalized. He discussed the idea of marriage with his girlfriend, Ginger Alden. At 5 a.m., Elvis and Ginger went to play racquetball at the court beside the mansion. When Elvis returned to the mansion at 7 a.m., he was more subdued. Pauline said he looked hungry. He said, "You know, Pauline, I'm not hungry. I just want to rest." Later in the morning, Elvis called the kitchen and asked for his medication, which he referred to as his attacks.
His attacks.
Plural. Elvis typically took three such attacks each night, spaced several hours apart. But during this last night, he had saved up the contest of all three attacks and swallowed all the pills at once. He was found dead several hours later on the toilet in his bathroom. Did Elvis deliberately overdose? Elvis was usually very careful about the spacing of his meds. The only time, this was the only time, rather, he only took three attacks together. Even as a teenager, Elvis loved food. He relished the lunches at his Memphis high school. More often than not, Elvis couldn't afford lunch. His shop teacher noticed Elvis lingered after class, which was the last period before lunch. The teacher asked E what was wrong. Elvis said he didn't have money for lunch. The shop teacher gave him lunch money that day and for many days afterwards. Years later in Hollywood, Elvis prowled around looking for a down-home dinner like you would get in Memphis. A few times he brought Natalie Wood along. Quote, Natalie Wood, "We would go to P.C. Brown's and we would have hot fudge sundaes. We'd go to Hamburger Hamlet. Elvis would have a burger and a Coke. He didn't drink. He didn't swear. He didn't even smoke. It was like having the date I never had in high school. I thought it was wild." Whenever Elvis was in Vegas, he was fueled by massive intakes of food. After the show, Elvis would have a small backstage party. More typically, he would rush to the service elevator to be whisked to his penthouse suite, where he lived on cheeseburgers piled up on his bed. Cheeseburgers were served with ketchup but without mayonnaise because Elvis believed that mayonnaise was bad for your stomach.
There you go.
Fries with the occasional pickle were the only accompaniment. At Graceland, Elvis had cooks on duty 24 hours a day. Graceland's pantry was always fully stocked with Elvis's favorite foods. But the cooks who went grocery shopping never bought Elvis's favorite beverage, regular Pepsi. He drank too much of it to buy at the supermarket. Instead, Elvis had cases delivered directly by the Pepsi distributor. One night in 1976, Elvis and pals were on a jet to Denver to feast on the best sandwich Elvis had ever eaten. The Fool's Gold Loaf. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich of Olympic proportions.
Hey.
The sandwich is an entire loaf of bread.
Wow.
That's warmed, hollowed out, and generously spread with peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, baby.
The inside is filled with a pound of crispy fried bacon. During the last years of his life, Elvis's eating got totally out of hand. Once when he was about to enter the hospital, he left instructions to be awakened and be fed a cherry. He fed a cherry pie prior to his departure.
Wake me up and feed me a pie.
He was so nervous that he ate the entire pie in bed, unaided by utensils. Another time, while staying in Baltimore before a concert, Elvis woke up and ordered a hot fudge sundae for breakfast. He quickly ate it, then ordered a second one. He ordered and ate a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh. Seven chocolate sundaes for breakfast. Then he passed out. At the end of his life, he increasingly dined while reclining. However, it was impossible to lie flat in bed and eat and watch TV,
of course,
at the same time. Elvis ingeniously thought of the idea of glasses with a mirror inside.
Sure, man.
The mirror, positioned at a 45-degree angle, reflected the TVs by his feet into his field of vision, which was focused directly upward.
Hey.
That's the story of Elvis' TV glasses. Elvis had one favorite meal towards the end. Bacon, mashed potatoes, and peas.
Yummy!
wearing his wearing his TV glasses, Elvis would swirl together on his plate.
Yeah, man,
swirl them together
and shovel it into his mouth with his bare hands.
That's mashed potatoes, bacon, and peas.
Mm. On his belly,
lying flat out, looking straight up so he can see the TV with his TV glasses.
So the TV's at the foot of his bed, droning on. Elvis ate his way to an early death.
Oh, there it is.
That is an
there it is.
An exclusive Don and Mike show story about Elvis.
And that had some of the great stuff in it about the fool's gold loaf.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the peas and the mashed potatoes.
Seven hot fudge sundaes.
The cherry pie.
Then he passed out. Came to the hospital. When I wake up, I want a cherry pie.
No, better. Wake me and give me a cherry pie.
Give me a cherry pie. Remember the regular snack. 8 scoops of ice cream and 12 cookies.
Oh, wow. Not so much inside.
No, the regular snack
was 8. It was 12 scoops of ice cream.
And 24 cookies.
And 24 cookies.
So when she cut down, she just gave him 4 scoops of ice cream and only 8 cookies.
My water bottles are empty.
Well, that's our tribute. Happy birthday, Elvis.
Yeah.
Wow.
Happy birthday, E.
Hey.
I think we got time for Craig, don't we? I think it's worth doing today.
Uh-huh.
So we got Craig Wilson coming right up.
There. Is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend, I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is Scott Thompson saying Don and Mike are a gay.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
I forgot on tomorrow's show, besides the gay guy from Baltimore and the J.O. stop and the debut of the Satan show, tomorrow from the WWE, you know him, Big Show.
Big Show, the hottest wrestler out there.
Yep, he's it.
Wow.
Dwayne Thompson's not wrestling anymore, so he's the man now.
7'2" and 500 pounds.
Dwayne Johnson, excuse me, not Dwayne, whatever I said.
Thompson.
The Rock.
The Rock, is that Dwayne?
Yeah. Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I heard your comment on clown porn. What is your feelings on midget porn?
I guess porn.
I've seen the midget porn also.
Oh, I have to mention that, yeah, tomorrow we're also going to devote a portion of the show to both pro and anti clown porn website.
I'm getting it worked up for that.
Oh, my God.
I mean, not worked up like you think.
Oh. Well, I don't know what you were talking about.
I was saying, but I'm anti-clown porn. I don't like the clown porn.
No, but
it disturbs me.
But if people want to watch it, you don't want to ban it, do you?
I think they ought to be, they ought to have the law come into their houses.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hi there. Absolutely love the show. This is Bob calling from Fort Rucker, Alabama.
Howdy,
I never miss the show. I love you guys.
Thanks.
And I think you guys were absolutely hilarious with the Ehlert Palarm interview. And he claims he was not on any kind of drugs or alcohol, but for sure I think he was tipping the absolute vodka and some kind of prescription meds.
Gotcha. All right, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Thank you. Bye, Columbo. Now, one of the New Year's resolutions we have for this show was that we were only going to read Craig Wilson if it was worthy every week.
And we happen to get a winner this week.
Mm. Yeah, if it was gay enough to read, we'd read it.
Amen.
And, yeah, this week qualifies.
Yeah.
So, from the USA Today, the final word by Craig Wilson.
Feelings.
Peace on earth. And lots of stuff to Goodwill.
Nothing more than feelings.
A few years ago, I wrote a column about how I don't make New Year's resolutions anymore.
Trying to forget.
You can only fail at those so long before it's time to admit defeat and move on. Feelings. This year was to be no different. I would make no promises I could not keep.
Then, there I was, minding my own business in my mother's living room, sitting in front of a Christmas tree circled by presents, when a column by Leonard Pitts Jr. of the Miami Herald caught my eye. The headline, Materialism Rules the Holidays.
Pips will mention how America was suffering from a severe case of affluenza. Empty consumerism gone wild. And how malls have become our churches. The purchase, an act of sacrament.
In short, we all shop too often for things we don't need. The problem, Pitt says, is that we can never buy enough to feel whole. We are all on a fool's errand, credit card in hand.
This column stays with me for days. I thought about it Christmas morning when I sat with my family to open present after present. I thought about it when I packed all those presents in the car on a snowy Christmas night. And I thought about it again when I carried them all into my house the next day. A house already chock full of stuff.
Although I often clean like a madman this time of year, this column sent me into overdrive. Over New Year's, I cleaned the clutter from the storage room shelves. I then swept through my closet, and this time, instead of just rearranging, which is my annual habit, I actually put clothes in bags for Goodwill. Shirts I haven't worn in years. Shoes. A dozen ties.
And then I moved on to my bureau.
Socks. Sweaters.
T-shirts never worn. Into the bag they went.
The process was so cleansing that when it was over, I felt lighter. Despite the holiday pounds I'd put on. But when I looked, I still had enough left to clothe a good-sized pep club of aging preppies.
It was then I made a resolution. I would buy nothing in 2003. I would join what is known as the simplicity movement.
Oh, I'll buy food and toothpaste and things like that. And come spring, I'll go into the garden center and buy my window box plants and the like. And friends and family need not fear. They'll still get their presents.
But I won't buy anything for myself. No retro radios from Restoration Hardware. No antique walking sticks for my collection. No shirts from Brooks Brothers. I'm embarrassed to say that even after the purge, 74 shirts still hang in my closet.
Hold on, I gotta reset my wow.
God.
He's back.
And we continue with the final word by Craig Wilson. You got the winner. You got it.
Will I be seduced by a black cashmere turtleneck come March? Will a pair of buttery, soft moccasins trip me up this summer?
Wow, you got the best paragraph.
Will something Burberry beckon in the fall? I don't know. But it'll be an adventure to see how much stuff I can actually snub in the coming months.
Fitz ended his column with these words. Maybe wealth begins the day you're finally able to want what you have. Finally manages to say something none of us, rich or poor, ever seen able to say. I have enough. I don't need anything more than this.
Could less really translate to more? Could I really be a richer man this time next year? I'm willing to give it the old college try.
Stay tuned. God only knows how long this show will run.
There he is.
And that's your winning paragraph right there.
Yeah, I got the home run there.
Will I be seduced by a black cashmere turtleneck come March? And the winning line, incidentally.
Yeah, going away. Best line in the whole column.
Will a pair of buttery soft moccasins trip me up this summer?
Mm-hmm. Look at these moccasins. They're buttery soft.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
That's me.
He made it up.
Leslie, are you wearing buttery soft moccasins right now?
Not at the moment, but I have my walking stick.
Are you seduced by a black cashmere sweater? Give me a black cashmere turtleneck.
Well, that's one of our resolutions for 2003. We're only going to read the gayest
there you go.
Of the Craig Wilson columns, and there you go.
He came through.
He sure did.
So to speak. Buzz.
Yes.
Your news show tonight. What is the lead story?
From the Monkey News Network, when you're a middle-aged chimp, nobody wants you.
Oh, great. Get out the Charlie Broyhill tapes. And stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned for news and comments, coming up on the Don and Mike
Don
Show.
Don and Mike Show. Well, very buttery and professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
What's it ever they say? It's got to be funky. The Don and Mike.
Gotta look at this. This is not a New Year's resolution. Let's see if we stick to this. Look what time it is right now.
Yep.
And we don't have to cram all the commercials together.
We don't. Cool.
Yeah. We've done okay today.
Very good.
And Buzz Verimax paid their bill.
All right. They re-upped, so to speak.
Yeah, well, I think they had signed a long-term contract, but I shouldn't say this.
Move ahead.
Forward. They didn't pay for a while, but they paid now. So Buzz is brought to you by Verimax Sexual Enhancer. Have great sex more often with Verimax, available at finer health food stores. Pharmacies and retailers are called 1-888-TRY-VMAX.
No need for them to claim hardship.
And now here is Buzz.
They've paid me tenfold.
Hi, Buzz.
When you're a middle-aged monkey, nobody wants you.
No. Charlie has a new companion, fresh from Spain. He hasn't seen another chimp since he was a tiny baby. Charlie's dying to play with his new companion. He doesn't mean any harm. It's a simple but dramatic moment, like Tarzan meeting another human for the first time.
Mike was just talking with Charlie Broyhill, our producer, and mentioning how much you like having him back.
You know, it is a trip down memory lane every time that I chat with Charlie. Charlie and I cover ground that nobody else that's connected with this show cover. And it's always rather refreshing and just a little disturbing. Well, controversy in Germany as the Berlin Zoo prepares to ship out some middle-aged chimpanzees because they no longer amuse the public.
But in the course of battle, peace-loving Charlie ended up a casualty. He lost a finger to a sharp set of teeth. Charlie had to leave the group and recuperate by himself.
Only the Germans would do that.
You realize we got three of our favorite things going here. Yes. You got Germany,
uh-huh, right?
You got monkeys,
right?
And you have Charles Broyhill, our monkey producer.
Man, only the Germans.
Sling called Charlie the perfect father.
Russian folk songs and French.
These five chimps being put out to pasture, they're destined for China after the Berlin Zoo was unable to find them a retirement home in Europe. Quoting one zoo goer, it's not a very... That's not a Berliner.
Well, no, but they're supposed to go to China.
They're shipping them to China.
Well, am I distracting you with all these saves, Buzz?
I'm confused.
No, I got it. It's the story is from Germany.
Right.
That's why we got the music.
Right.
The monkeys are being shipped to... China. And it's about monkeys Charlie Broyhill.
Right.
Charlie was often drugged before he was rescued and brought to Monkey World. So he knows how this works.
That worked well. Well, meanwhile, back in Berlin, quoting one zoo goer, it's not a very nice thing to do. They're lovely animals, even if they don't hop around like they used to. Critics say the zoo's getting rid of the older chimps to make way for younger ones, similar to what they're doing with news anchors at CNN. Local newspapers have torn into the zoo for what it's doing, but the zoo says it's making the changes to give the other animals more room.
That was for your CNN
joke. I'll be here all week.
Next time on Monkey Business, Charlie makes the big move.
All right. To China. Former President Clinton is not being put out to pasture. In fact, he may have a new job as chancellor of his alma mater, Oxford University. British newspapers report that Clinton's a candidate to become the head of England's oldest and most prestigious university.
You know, listen, for all you Clinton watchers out there.
Clinton!
And this guy, he's going over there.
This guy.
Because you're not scrutinized over there like you are over here. He's gone.
Clinton is well liked in the UK. And
there you go.
He said that his days there were among the happiest in his life.
Hello, I'm Jerry Orwell. Spice Girls. Hello, Bill.
It's good to see you. How are you? I'm the new chancellor, and I have a private office that we could go to, and you could play with little Bill.
Hello.
How do you like my English accent? Hello.
Bill's daughter is now a student there. Clinton's people have no comment on the story. It is a lifetime appointment, by the way.
And you know what? Women over there are less likely to have teeth.
You don't really push it up with the BJ.
Your injuries.
So you go over there and like be president of a British school for the rest of his life.
How are you?
It could happen.
How are you?
How are you?
You would almost be disappointed with Eminem if he hadn't slept with a porn star, but Ginger Lynn says he has.
Well, who hasn't, Buzz? Take a number for better service.
Haven't we had Ms. Lynn on the show?
Yes, and Daryl Nichols asked her the question.
Yes.
About females. Don't delete that out.
And it's a technical term.
And she said, yes, yeah, so they do.
Well, Ginger Lynn also says that she has had sex with Eminem, just as Em and his wife are trying to get back together.
I like watching you process that when you just, you know, you got it, you knew it, was bad, and then you weren't sure, and then you said,
yeah.
What the hell at the end, and maybe it got on the air.
Well, Daryl asked Ginger Lynn of the anal workout, asked if women can complete.
Yes.
And when women complete, if they can complete the same way a guy can complete.
Similar, yeah.
You know.
And she answered, of course, in the affirmative.
You know, to,
like
you know.
Target practice. Like,
right, thank right. you, Buzz. You know, make a mess.
Ginger Lynn, meanwhile, star of some 200 adult films and a friend of Charlie Sheen's, is telling reporters that she and Eminem had a lovemaking session that lasted 17 hours.
Please.
Marshall Mathers people deny that, but they admit she is in his latest video.
17 hours?
17 hours.
Probably lost in her ass.
He's young. People seem to enjoy buying gifts for babies. Even strangers do it when they hear about a very special baby in the news. But this is not the case with the allegedly cloned baby you've been hearing about.
I do when I hear about the special babies.
You stop that.
Stop.
The organization... There are all kinds of ways to be special, and that's not one of them in this case. The organization.
I know what I'm talking about, Buzz.
I know what you know that
no,
I know.
No, you don't know.
The organization.
You don't know.
The organization that claimed a cloned girl was born around Christmas says she has not yet received even one card or gift from the public.
Well, she's an alien.
Part of the reason, no doubt, is that the UFO believing group refuses to give out its address. That could be a problem.
All the special babies.
Yes. They're all special. There are so many so-called reality shows now, it's come to this. Next week, a federal judge will decide if ABC has to scrap a new show that CBS says is a rip-off of Survivor. The show's actually based on a British series, as is so often the case. It's called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. As you can guess, the show puts celebrities into challenging situations to see how they do. If they do well in their remote locations, they'll be rewarded with food.
Tonight they have Celebrity Mole,
mm-hmm.
and it's amazing the has-beens
yep.
who are yep. on Celebrity Mole. I believe that annoying Kathy Griffin is probably, she and Corbin Burnson are probably
yep.
the most famous of the...
Yeah,
they don't even
want
to call them celebrities.
The other ones are practically off the radar screen.
Kim
right?
Coles.
She was. Who was Kim Coles?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Ahmad is the host.
In Living Single, she was a star of In Living Single.
And have you heard about the show Surreal Life? I think it's supposed to premiere mid-season.
Oh, weren't we talking about that in the office
right
before the
show?
The one that has Emmanuel Lewis?
Corey Feldman. Vince Neil of Motley Crue.
That Playboy Playmate.
Former Survivor contestant and rapper MC Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Now that one I'm watching. Yeah, that sounds interesting. Only because of Corey Feldman.
Oh, I said it. So the Hammer Alarm.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Celebrity Mold. This looks... ridiculous. I never watched The Mole to begin with, and it looks like dumb Survivor stuff, right?
Yeah, and I'm really, you know, after Joe Millionaire, I think America has a taste for, you know, only a limited number of these shows. They got to slow down on it a little bit. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the saturation point is.
And also, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that because American Idol was a hit,
mm-hmm.
CBS has to rip it off, and I think it's tonight, it's Star Search.
Mm-hmm.
With Arsenio Hall and his new bad haircut. And it's not even like Star Search because the tapes that they've shown
right.
of the people, they're awful.
Yeah, they're terrible.
It's like American Idol.
Because
on Star Search, at least to some level, the people who came out to perform for Ed McMahon had already established that
right.
they had some level of talent.
So what you're saying is they're modifying the format of Star Search to make it more like American Idol?
Yeah.
That sucks.
And yeah. they're making it be live, I think, is another ripoff of the last part of American Idol, which was done live.
Yeah.
Well, we've already decided we'll like this show if it ever sees the air. The Hill Folk of Appalachia are fighting back against the new CBS reality series, The Real Beverly Hillbillies.
Now, that's a great one.
Oh, I want that one to hit the airwaves. As you know, the show would put a poor mountain family into a California mansion complete with a cement pond to see how they manage. An organization called the Center for Rural Strategy is taking out ads in the New York Post, the Washington Post, and the Cincinnati Enquirer.
Joe's the guy who wears a shirt that says Joe on it.
To object.
Joe.
It says CBS thinks it's safe to make fun of and capitalize on low-income rural folks.
Joe.
Quoting the group, we intend to lessen their comfort zone and make them rethink this premise.
Joe's not just a name, it's an idea.
Have a little fun. They're going to give people a mansion. CBS says it's not doing the show to perpetuate any stereotypes.
Good for them. Good for CBS. Finally doing something right.
Christopher Reeve is returning to the world of Superman. He'll guest star on an episode of the WB Smallville next month.
God, that's the second thing you've said to Miss Brilliant. First was the special baby.
Right, yes, right. And now Christopher Reeve is returning to the role of Superman. To the world of Superman.
The world of Superman.
Not the role. Be on the show Smallville. It's a show about the teenage Superman, of course. Reeve was the star of 4 Superman movies before a horseback riding accident paralyzed him. Reeve's also been nominated, by the way, for a spoken word Grammy for narrating his book, Nothing Is Impossible. He won a Grammy in 99 for the narration of another book he's written.
Jesus Christ.
Listen,
here's the thing. More power to him.
Right.
You know,
I think
we all wish him well. Yeah. But really, if he had his legs right now, he would be on Celebrity Mole.
You got a point there.
He's getting these Grammys and these nominations because of what he has gone through.
Right.
And for some reason, that pisses me off. I know that he's a person a lot of people look up to. He's an inspiration, blah, blah, blah. But do we have to keep giving him all these goddamn awards?
Yes. Yeah, not out of sympathy, but, you know, standing on his own 2 feet. Don?
What?
Every day.
I like to see him on Celebrity Mole. You like to see him push him off one of those waterfalls.
You wouldn't think. You would think Avril Lavigne would be
wearing a Superman suit.
Oh, my God.
That would be special.
He says he likes the jokes. He's coming up.
Oh, baby, that would be special.
You would think Avril Lavigne would be more sensitive to the way people pronounce their names.
Oh, man.
But at the Grammy nominations yesterday morning, she made David Bowie's last name rhyme with Howie. David Bowie, she said.
David Bowie.
The 18-year-old Grammy newcomer was corrected by a reporter for the Associated Press, after which she said cutely, I knew that was going to happen.
Click.
Lavigne's up for 5 Grammy nominations, including Best New Artist and Song of the Year for her hit, Complicated. She got the same number of nods as Springsteen and Sheryl Crow, by the way.
She will be shot in the head for the song Skater Boy.
Oh, man, you know, I like that, but I hate that song. God, I think she's talented, but man, that song.
Buzz, hold on, please. Right. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
If you could listen to them, would you? Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Cherry pie.
Call me if my condition worsens.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. When the movie Cleopatra came out in 1963, it was considered so provocative it was nearly scandalous.
Cleopatra.
So you'd think there would have been more interest when the Queen's throne, occupied by the young Liz Taylor, went up for auction. But the throne's been pulled from the auction because it has failed to attract much interest at all from bidders.
There's their throne right there.
What's this on the seat? Miss Taylor.
Oh, Liz.
Oh, dear God. This is the very throne that she used during the filming of Cleopatra.
You brought it up, Bud. You said
I did.
The two words, Elizabeth Taylor
and
throne.
Throne.
Oh, Liz.
Must have been some great acting going on this throne.
Oh, Liz. Golly. What would Michael think? Michael Jackson, his broken nose.
Mm.
Oh, Liz.
This is the very throne she used during the filming of Cleopatra.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elizabeth Taylor.
This is her throne. Come on, take a closer look. Check out the throne for yourself.
She's here to honor Christopher Reeve. Hunt celebrity mole.
Who will be falling off a waterfall in his Superman suit.
Oh,
my.
Damn Elizabeth Taylor. Dame Elizabeth Taylor. You say dame?
Dame Elizabeth Taylor.
Dame Elizabeth Taylor.
Or you say damn.
And her special throne.
Anyway, Buzz.
You may be onto something. Because, you see, a lot of people are going commando, and you can include Liz Taylor in that.
No underpants?
That's right.
Oh, no.
As John Travolta stood on stage here in Washington last month for a Kennedy Center tribute to Liz, he said he'd had a dream about her, and he told her from the stage, "I dreamed you were naked." With the president and other dignitaries in the audience, Ms. Taylor shouted back from the balcony, "I don't have any panties on tonight."
Wow, Liz.
You didn't see that in the TV special. It got edited out partly because of the stunned silence from the audience that followed her announcement.
Way to go, boss, Liz. She's bawdy.
Yes, she is.
Listen to how bawdy she is.
Sounds like she's running out here.
Surprise!
Nope. There's always room for jello. Okay, thank you, Liz. She will not stop.
God, what's
likes,
wrong with
likes to get in the last word.
Body.
Not wearing underpants.
That's right.
Thank you, Liz.
Body.
Is that it? Okay.
HBO's... Right. She does go on, doesn't she?
I think she's done. Was that it?
No.
No. Is that it?
Just Taylor, that'll be quite enough.
Unfiltered.
Oh, boy.
HBO's Sex and the City. HBO. Oh, forget it.
All right, Buzz. Okay. Go ahead.
HBO's Sex. I'll wait for your cue.
No.
Okay.
I'm done.
All right, HBO's Sex and the City has just one season of life left in it.
Oh, Liz.
There's Cynthia Nixon.
That's Nixon.
Oh, I'm sweating in here.
20 new half-hour episodes will be made of Sex and the City starting this spring, and they'll start airing in June. After those 12 shows, the series will vanish again until early next year for the final eight, and then it'll be gone for good. The show's won a lot of viewers and awards for HBO, which is not happy about losing Sarah Jessica Parker and company. But HBO will still have Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm, Project Greenlight, and 6 Feet Under. And, of course, the new Bill Maher show starting February 21st.
Oh,
he was
right.
Canceled, you'll recall, on ABC after saying the U.S. was cowardly in the way it handled the Middle East.
Right, Liz.
How does Liz feel about that?
She's not cowardly.
She doesn't like Bill Maher either.
Oh, no. She's very nervous.
Opinionated.
Nervous tummy.
Someone has scammed the Lesbians of San Diego. They were told that singer Bjork would be making an appearance at one of their night spots.
You mean Bjork?
Yes, Bjork. I'm sorry.
Bjork.
What was I thinking?
Went to a party in a county jail.
Anyway, the Lesbians of San Diego thought Bjork was coming to one of their favorite local night spots. The place was sold out at $40 a ticket. And then it was discovered that the concert promoter had taken off with all the money.
Oh, no.
And Bjork's people say they'd never even heard of the event.
Oh, Bjork.
That's just a theory on your part.
It's the first time this year.
Yeah, you're right.
That's pretty funny, pal.
Not the last.
The Hollywood Chamber of Commerce.
You people don't know what we're laughing about. I'm sorry.
It's I do, but I'm not telling.
Mm-hmm.
The Hollywood Chamber of Commerce says it was ready.
Ms. Taylor.
And then she piped in again.
Oh, that was real stomachy, that one.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. Five minutes, Miss Taylor. You're on in 5 minutes.
Our show, glad we're back from vacation.
We're back.
Now you know where Slim Fast comes from. The Hollywood Chamber of Commerce says it was ready 20 years ago to give Steven Spielberg a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but it wasn't until now that the Oscar-winning director made himself available.
Oh, God.
He gets the star Friday outside the Kodak Theater.
Go F yourself.
Where they hand out the Oscars every year. Quoting a Chamber of Commerce spokesman, "We're just pleased we finally got him. By the way, there will apparently be another Jurassic Park movie," according to Jeff Goldblum, who says he's been asked to be in it.
Well, that's really, really good. I think you're going to be you're going to be surprised. Trust me on that. Really, don't you agree, Liz? Pull my finger.
In sports, funny I should bring this up. Duke.
That was all Goldblum.
Duke takes the court tonight for the first time since taking over as number one in the AP College basketball poll this week. What a coincidence.
Duke.
And San Francisco pitcher Levon Hernandez has been arrested for trying to hit an elderly man with a golf club. Hernandez has been charged with felony aggravated assault after what witnesses call a street fight with an older man.
Don, baby, how's it going?
Hernandez was due to be sent to the Miami-Dade County Jail after police finished questioning. And finally, hey, nice possums. If you're ever in Austin, Texas, and you see Allison Adams' bra moving, it could be the squirrels. Allison keeps baby squirrels in her bra.
This little girl has knockers!
No, those are squirrels. She also keeps baby possums there, and she likes those better. She says the squirrels are too fidgety, noisy, and according to Allison, grabby.
Show me breasts! Yes!
All right, Louie.
Allison rescues the baby squirrels and possums whose moms were killed crossing the road, and sometimes rabbits and kittens, too. Quoting her, it's just the easiest way to keep them warm. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No! Sorry, Buzz, I didn't mean to look warm. Mm. Yeah. I just hated how good Christopher Reeve would look. How good Christopher Reeve would look at him now.
With squirrel babies, or
you almost said what the
with squirrels in it?
Yeah,
special squirrel babies. That's it. You're done.
Being pushed off a cliff on Celebrity Mole.
Kryptonite bra.
All right. We're on the commercials on time. That's what happens.
What frightens me is I'm laughing along with you.
This is why it's bad we run on time. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. Yeah, okay, don't say anything. Hey, can you?
Let's see at the waterfall.
Okay.
Who's bringing the squirrels?
You're special, Ben.
Yeah.
Don't forget it. All right, see you tomorrow.
PM.
Eaters.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.